Future presentation.
Welcome back to another Untitled Movie Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but he is tomato meter approved, Eric Margin.
Matt, we are in a dumpster fire, and it's only January 22nd. We live in the darkness, in the Black Lodge, a place where time and space does not care about humanity. I've been watching a lot of David Lynch, so.
Yeah, I mean, a bummer way to start this episode. But yeah, unfortunately, David Lynch did pass away in the last week. We, you know, we can talk a little bit about it here. Today's going to be our most anticipated films of 2025. My favorite episode to do. I know you get the favorite episode out right at the beginning of the year. But I always love doing this episode with you, going through everything that's coming out, building a list and kind of drafting those films. But I think I do want to do something on David Lynch in the future, whether it's, an episode just talking about his filmography or something like that, just to honor the man, because I've always had this, I, as you know, we've done spinoff podcasts previously with conversations and obviously we had the separate review channel and we had the Cast of Us, which will return. I promise everyone, I won't have a mental breakdown this time.
And we'll get done those last few episodes.
I promise. Cause I'm very excited for that next season. And I've always wanted to do one going through directors' filmographies. Cause that's what I love doing. And Lynch obviously would be at the top of that list. So
yeah, right below Sean Levy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, what a bummer, man. What, like, one of the greats. I know, you know, he was 78. It's still a great life, but still also too soon. And I know he had a bunch of health problems.
Emphysema.
Yeah, from smoking and things like that. So, yeah, but obviously one of the best to ever do it. One of our most creative minds, I think. I think no one saw the world quite like that man, and he is one of the greats. So it's just a bummer in general.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's you know, it is lovely when you see so many people mourning, but also, you know, celebrating the work, because obviously we didn't know him as a person, so all you have is the work and the interviews that you've watched and things like that. But to see so many people who have been inspired or influenced and love what he did and what he changed. You know, he was the guy that, you know, between him and Mark Frost, you know, was changing television in the 90s before television really became what it is now. You know, he was always ahead of the curve and tapped into a portal into another dimension and brought it into the world and shared it with us in a way that, you know, no other filmmaker did. And he obviously considered himself more of an artist first and foremost than a filmmaker. I think he probably would have considered himself an artist and a musician and then a director third, you know. But I think he was truly one of the greatest to ever do it, as you mentioned. But, you know, there was something about each project that he did that felt like a gift, because, you know, his filmography, while it's, you know, it's solid and there's a lot there, you know, it's not as prolific as some filmmakers' careers are. So every movie we got from him, and we were lucky to get those movies, you know, feels like, well, we can always go back to them and find the little things. And, you know, the stories of darkness versus light, very much representative in all of his work. But, you know, like even something like Dune, which is not my favorite movie by any means, there's still something there to consider. And, you know, he could have, you know, thrown in the towel after that film because of how that production went. But then he follows Dune up with Blue Velvet. And it's just like, well, we're off to the races at that point. So, yeah, an amazing filmography, an amazing artist, an amazing personality. And from all you know, from all perspectives of people talking about him that knew him, that loved him, you know, from Kyle MacLachlan to Laura Dern to Naomi Watts, you know, the people closest to him, actors, other filmmakers, everybody seemed to say that he was a nice guy, a really compassionate, curious, empathetic human being. And so, you know, the world needs more of that. And the world also lost such an important artistic figure. But again, you know, we'll always have the work. And I hope that The Straight Story gets a North American Blu-ray release, because that's the one film of his really is quite emotional, but tender in a way that maybe if you're afraid to watch something that's darker, like a Blue Velvet or Wild at Heart or Eraserhead, that's kind of like a really kind of good place to start, almost, in a way. So
I'd agree. Rest in peace, David Lynch. Okay, Eric, we'll get into it now, because maybe we don't want this to be 3.5 hours so our podcast service crashes and we can't recover the episode.
Well, you're an expert now, so we know what we're doing.
Shout out to, it was Mark, right? Mark at Adobe Podcast?
Sure.
Yeah.
All hail Mark.
Yeah, he was, you know, the head of Adobe Podcast, helped us recover that best of episode. So please go check that out if you haven't, or maybe you're still slowly making your way through it because it was as long as The Brutalist. So
we didn't have an intermission though.
We didn't. You can pause it whenever you'd like. So we won't blame you. But yeah, we did a big beefy boy episode on the best movies of 2024. Perfect timing too. Oscar nominations are this week. Probably as you're listening to this, they've already come out. Eric and I will cover that probably next week.
The Emilia Perez parade will begin.
I can't, man. I'm not. I'll save it. And I like Odiard, but like, I just can't. I just don't. That movie's broken me a little bit. But I want to get into our 25 most anticipated films of 2025. But before we do that, I will remind everyone what we usually do. Eric's prepped some movies on his end on like a short list. I have prepped nothing. So I will go through month by month with stuff that has release dates and kind of see if we'll kind of go over the entire year of what movies are coming out. And then Eric's also very knowledgeable in directors that might have movies coming out this year, or might be playing festivals, or should probably have movies coming out this year, but maybe don't have release dates or distributors or anything yet. So we'd like to put some of those on our list, which could backfire in the sense of they might not come out this year.
They always do.
Or certain things might get delayed. And great segue by me. Before we start building that list of 2025, I want to look back at last year,
the Jack Bauer top 24.
Yeah. And kind of see what we had on our most anticipated films of 2024.
I'm going to say something here, though. You're kind of echoey a little bit.
Is this a bit, or am I actually?
No, you're actually echoey. This is not a bit.
I accidentally turned my mic on the other service we were using. I should be okay now.
Yes,
right?
You're perfect. Okay.
Yeah, you guys probably didn't hear an echo on your end. That was only for Eric. All right, I want to go back. Which, should I have logged into Letterboxd before we did this?
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. So I'm doing that now.
It's the professionalism you've come to expect.
I don't
from
even
this show.
Know what my fucking password is. God. Yes, you know, we're always well prepared. Which means Eric and I usually just text each other in the morning and go,
do you want to do this
record today? which it wasn't like we have a set schedule or anything. Maybe we should, but you know what? That's not how life works.
No.
Sometimes you just need to wing it and figure it out as you go. All right, I have it now. Yeah, here we go. All right, so let's go through last year's list and talk about it and see if we were on the money. Did things live up to our expectations? What did, what didn't, and what isn't on the list, which is how anything that got punted, we could put as a potential
yes
for this year? Will something carry over or will something else?
Well, you should have said carry on. Because we got two Jean-Claude Serra movies this year.
So the first movie on our list, which I don't believe got released, is The Actor.
No, it did
Duke
not.
Johnson's The Actor. Which, Eric, remind me, I'm sure this was a you.
So this is Andre Holland, the co-director of Anomalisa, about an actor who loses his memory after a violent event and has to figure out not only who he is, but how to get out of a bad situation. And apparently it's using animation in the movie as well, but it is a live action adaptation, I believe, of a crime novel. Cool. And so that was something where I think like maybe it's just it's taking extra time because of the animation portion of, the filmmaking. So probably this year, maybe, who knows? Who knows, Matt? Who knows?
Okay. Well, we'll put it on the potential for this year. We'll see if it makes the list. Then we had Anora, obviously turned out very well for one of us. Yes. I'm a little bit more medium on it.
Personal friend, Sean Baker.
Yeah. I think we both love Sean Baker. So I think looking at it
even from the remove of, us like you not liking it, like having it on this list, I think does represent 2024 in a way.
I think it was a good choice, even if it didn't work out for me. Next up is Andrea Arnold's Bird. This is one that I missed. I didn't see it.
It's okay. So, it's not a bad movie. Like, there's a lot there to really appreciate, especially how unpredictable it is. But I don't know if it was really like something where it's like, this is representative of 2024 or even like, it didn't even make my top 25. So, it goes to show you that, wild card picks are always going to be like that, but it's still exciting to pick something that is.
And I didn't even end up seeing it. So that kind of is a little telling.
And we have an interview up with the two leads of the film. So.
Blitz, Steve McQueen's Blitz. Oof, that's probably one that hurt. Yeah, these are the ones. But I think a new Steve McQueen movie, even his
on paper,
movie,
yes,
we're probably going to put it on our most anticipated.
Yep.
If he has another thing coming up, right? So I think, understandably, we put it on the list. It was probably, we'll go through once we get through all these movies, probably one of the biggest misses of the list when it comes to big name directors. Next up, Brady Corbet's The Brutalist. So
we're on the money.
We were on the money. We were ahead of the curve on that one.
True,
I think,
tastemakers, Matt. True tastemakers.
That's what I say. The bad boys of cinema and the tastemakers. That's who we are. So completely on the money there. I think both, my number one film of the year, it was in your number four slot, I think. So I think I would have pushed for, I know you're a Corbet fan too before this, but I think because of
his sorbet is great.
Corbet's sorbet should definitely be somewhere. Next up, Alex Garland's Civil War. I think I'm okay with it being on last year's list. I know too. Both of us really, I think both of us liked it.
You liked it, I think, maybe more than me, but
I did.
I think it's also still good to have something like this on there, especially where we are right now with politics. So,
yeah. And I really, really do like Civil War. I think it maybe falls apart a little bit at the end and becomes too much of a movie. That sounds very silly, but
Matt Rohrbeck says too much of a movie.
Well, you know what I mean with that ending and stuff like that. Overwritten kind of stuff like that. So, but I think I'm not upset that it was on our list. I think if you're thinking about movies to be excited for last year, I think there. Same with Deadpool and Wolverine. I know you hate it. I enjoy it a lot.
You love Sean Levy's work.
I think out of the Marvel movies, there weren't that many last year. Obviously, it was a huge hit. I think it, if you like the character, I think you enjoyed the movie for the most part. Will Sean Levy's Star Wars movie make our list?
2026 or 2027, I guess.
We'll see. So I'm not mad that that's on there.
Also, it is representative of the year, I think, like in terms of
I think so too, right? Of if you were looking at what movies were coming out last year, you know, out of the blockbusters, that was a big one. Here's another one that didn't quite work for us. Joshua Oppenheimer's The End.
Yes. Which is like Steve McQueen. Like on paper, it's like great director. You know, the work.
Interesting concept.
Yeah. And yeah. Still appreciate what he was trying to do. It just does not work. And
yeah, didn't work. Furiosa, which would have been something that you pushed for, obviously, with my history with Mad Max. Obviously, it made your top 25 of the year, so lived up to those expectations. It is something we talked about a lot on that 3.5 hour episode, so go listen to that if you want. But I'd say I still do want to watch it. It was just because of my history with Mad Max, not like a huge priority.
Yeah.
So I will get to it, though. I will. Here's another one that I think both of us, it didn't quite work
out. We're striking out here.
Yeah. Ridley Scott. Oh, there's a bunch on here that actually, no, I think we're starting to get to, we'll see. Ridley Scott's Gladiator 2. I think understandably, putting it on the list, but unfortunately I think for both you and I, it just didn't quite work.
No, grateful for Denzel, because without him, it would have been awful, but,
yeah.
It was a sequel that did not pay off, and clearly Ridley Scott just doesn't really care.
Yeah. Speaking of sequels that we didn't feel like paid off, Inside Out 2. I know we were, again, Pixar movie sequel, like to a great Pixar movie, understandably put it on the list, but there are some great moments. I don't think it's a bad movie by any means. And I think I understand why we always try to maybe have a Pixar movie and a Marvel movie kind of on this list,
or animation too, right?
Like, animation in general. Yeah. But we didn't know anything about flow at that point. We didn't know anything about certain things or those kind of, it's nice when things come, out of nowhere and surprise you. But Inside Out was one of those ones that I think was a little bit disappointing for both of us. But I saw the TV Glow we had on there. That's one that I think we even carried over from the year before. Do you remember? And then
Tastemakers, Matt.
Yeah.
Tastemakers.
So very glad we had that on there to kind of something that might have gone under the radar until it came out for most people, or even after it came out. So yeah. I'm glad we had that on there. Kinds of Kindness. I think we both enjoyed the movie. Maybe it didn't make our, you know, top 25, because I think with like most anthology projects, some parts were better than others. But any Yorgos movie, I think, is going to make our list for the most part.
There could be one this year, even.
But
also, Kindness, I mean, is now looking even more evergreen on this list in comparison to some of the other movies we've
picked. Oh, absolutely. And I think we both still enjoyed the movie. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. A movie, it made neither of our top 25, but I think was pretty good. I think I underrate the movie a little bit because I like those Matt Reeves movies so much and the Caesar trilogy so much that I think Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is solid, but I think I underrate it because of how good those previous two are. So I'm fine with it being on this list.
I am just too. And I think it is worthy of being on the list. And I think like when the next one comes out, we'll look back at Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and be like, oh, that was really underrated.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Love Lies Bleeding. I liked quite a bit.
Same. Solid. And another eclectic choice, you know?
Yeah. That's why I like building these lists of having a mix of kind of smaller, weirder movies and big blockbusters and stuff like that. Yeah, I think a solid pick, and I really enjoyed it. Megalopolis. I'm fine with having on the list.
I am
like
too.
You kind of had to have it on the list, and I think it lived up to whatever the fuck we thought it was going to be, or it was completely different than whatever we thought it was going to be. But
one of my favorite movie going experiences of last year.
Maybe not one of my favorite movies, but definitely one of my favorite.
Will I buy it on 4K when it comes out?
I mean, you
absolutely.
Have to, but
absolutely.
It was quite the experience for sure. all right, Bong Joon-ho's Mickey 17 obviously got punted to March of this year.
Yep, David Zaslav is a bad man.
That's maybe true. So we'll put that on the potentials for this year because it got punted. Mother Mary also got punted to this year, yes. Correct? Like, or never technically, I think, had a release date.
No, but it didn't have a release date, but there was the assumption because it was shooting last year that it might make the end of the year, the final quarter. But I think because the music of the film was taking a long period of time to develop in post, that's why it's. I think it is now coming out this year. It's still not dated, but... one of those entertainment magazines released a first look photo and it's on the A24 website now. So
cool. So we'll put it on the potential. And we did get some David Lowery with his two episodes of Skeleton Crew, as well as his animated Christmas short that came out as yep. well. So we did get some Lowery last year, and we did give a shout out to the Christmas short he did. Okay, Barry Jenkins, Mufasa, The Lion King. You know what? In hindsight, I think like it was one of those things. It's like it's Barry Jenkins. We kind of yeah. had to put it on the list.
BJ, man.
we had to have a BJ on this list. But yeah, it is what it is. I didn't hate the movie. I thought it was actually fine. I think fine but forgettable is what I'll always.
It was fine, but it wasn't Mufasa. I don't know what okay, I was going
sure,
with.
Sure. Mufasa. Yeah, it was it's okay. It's fine. In hindsight, would I have, I don't think it probably should have been on this list, but you know, it is what it is. I think the intrigue of Barry Jenkins directing that movie made it one of the most anticipated movies of the year, and then in hindsight you go, okay, yeah, he did spend years of his life doing this,
but he got paid, like, so you know,
yeah, and which I'm happy about. I said the same, speaking of Skeleton Crew, the Daniels episode, which we haven't really talked about, but you know, get that money. Get that money. We have Robert Eggers' Nosferatu. I think worthy of being on mm-hmm. this list. A little bit disappointing. Not even disappointing is the right word. I've talked a lot about my feelings of Robert Eggers, and I think even though he's never quite worked for me, even his next film, I'd be like, yeah, I'm intrigued about it. So like, yeah. I could see it making,
and it's his most yeah. successful film, like in terms of commercially, like it's doing better than they expected. And you know, when your movie's produced by Chris Columbus of Home Alone fame, you know, that's the magic touch right there.
I totally agree. Okay. Next up, something that got punted, Saw 11. So you know what? I'm fine with I don't think we need to go back to yearly Saw movies. Like that's maybe too much. So I'm, you know, will it make the list this year? We'll have to see.
You know, you gotta let them cook and bring that yeah. quality. That
totally, yeah,
quality. Absolutely. I'll say it again. Quality of a Saw movie. Yeah,
exactly. David Cronenberg's The Shrouds obviously brought us a wonderful interview between Eric and DC.
DC, the only good DC right now.
Yeah, that's true. And then I know you really enjoyed the movie,
Eric. Yes, yeah, but it hasn't, which is weird because it played the festival circuit, but it hasn't gotten its theatrical release yet. So technically we could put it on 2025. I don't think we will because I've seen it. I really loved it. You know, we'll obviously talk about it more when it comes out, but that's always interesting as well. When something that does play the festival circuit, but then doesn't get a theatrical release until the following year, you know, that's always been like a bit of a gray zone when it comes to like even best of lists. Not that The Shrouds would be a best of contender for last year because it is getting a true theatrical release this year. But like something like Universal Language, I think a lot of people have struggled with thinking like, do you put it on this year's list or next year's because its theatrical release is coming up. But, you know, it's eligible for awards consideration for 2024 for international feature.
Yes. And then, another one that, you know, I think potentially sounded great, but didn't quite work was, Lee Isaac Chung's, Twisters.
Yeah.
So, you know, on paper sounded like it could have been great, great director, great cast, legacy sequel from a fun movie from the 90s. But didn't work.
It's the same situation with Barry Jenkins, where it's like all of the prospects are there in terms of, like, you know,
the ingredients are there, but then when you know,
yeah,
you taste it, it's not,
it didn't twist my nipples, Matt. It didn't get me there. So, you know, it's unfortunate.
I agree. And then another movie, that didn't come out last year that got punted to this year is, Trey Edward Schultz, Hurry Up Tomorrow, which is, written by, The Weeknd, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and starring The Weeknd. So,
yep.
Which I think the Trey Edward Schultz of it all is why I'm interested.
Yes.
Because definitely after,
The Idol,
a little bit of The Idol, I'm not necessarily, thrilled with, you know, The Weeknd as a writer or collaborator
or leading man.
So, but I love Trey Edward Schultz. So,
yeah. And the supporting cast is Jenna Ortega and Barry Keoghan, right?
Yeah. So I'm definitely still intrigued. We'll have to see this year if it would make that. Cause, like, you know, Waves I thought was good, but I haven't really thought about it all that much, but I really do love It Comes at Night. Krisha's great. And am I missing another one, or those are the three that he's directed?
Those are the three. Yeah.
The three bigger ones of it,
yeah,
that he's done. So yeah. So that was our list from last year. I think, pretty solid. I think we had some choices in there that many people weren't thinking about that early in the year. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I'd say with, I saw the TV Glow, The Brutalist, even, Love Lies Bleeding, you know, stuff like that, I think made for a fun, eclectic, list, even though if you look at last week's episode where we, shared our top tens, like a lot of the movies that, you know, we didn't put Dune Part Two on there because we hated the first Dune. And then I kind of, we didn't have Challengers on.
I think it was because of the tennis thing. I think it was like part, and also some of these movies we didn't put on because they were earlier releases in the year. And so, like, part of you as well is like, okay, how much do you want to put in that is like a wild card pick?
Like, yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's just, it's wild seeing Challengers. You know, A Real Pain probably would have never made the list. Better Man would have never made the list.
Transformers 1 wouldn't have made
Transformers
the list.
Yeah, like, though, that's always what's fun about it, is that these movies that you had no expectations for, and maybe that helps those movies versus these movies that make the list that have very high expectations, right? Yeah. Long Legs didn't make the list on out of my top 10. Will and Harper, A Quiet Place Day One, Flow. A Quiet Place is, I'm sure, something we talked about and was a potential, but we probably just were like, it's okay. It's just another Quiet Place movie, which it ultimately is. But,
yeah.
And then looking at your list with Nickel Boys, Challengers, No Other Land, Evil Does Not Exist, even though at that point that already had played TIFF and stuff during those conversations. All We Imagine Is Light, and same with The Beast, played TIFF as well. So, I understand some of those are small movies, so we probably wouldn't have thought about them at that point. Or when you're putting together a most anticipated, like, some of those came out of nowhere. So,
But that's exciting too, right? Because even though we're trying to predict, I think ultimately it's not even predicting like what's going to be.
No, it's just what we're very excited for.
Yeah. It's like, it's finding the excitement and being hopeful of like these things that you can look forward to in the year. And it gives you kind of like the creative juice to inspire you about what is on the horizon, not Horizon Part Two, but what's on the horizon.
Yeah. Horizon Part Two will be our number one most anticipated.
It'll be Horizon Part Two, The Strangers Chapter Two.
We might as well put Flight Plan on there, even though it's already
Flight
came
Risk.
Out, right?
Flight Risk.
Flight Risk. Yeah, sorry. Flight Plan's a different movie,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Jodie Foster.
Yeah. incredible. All right. So that was last year's list. Let's get to this year's list. So, Eric, we'll go – how we usually do this is – I can go through everything that has a release date at this point, mm-hmm. right? And we can go, will it make the short list, or are we just skipping it entirely? Is it not going
to
go?
Well, there's one movie that is going to make our list, and I think we need to do this right now because we designed this whole episode simply for this film. Final Destination Bloodlines.
Oh, yeah. That is making the short list, and it might make the top 25. Final Destination Bloodlines. I think we talked a little bit about it on the show, but me and you randomly one day, you just came over to hang out.
Well, was it random? It was after my grandfather died.
Yes. Oh, perfect. Yeah, that wasn't random. And why we watched a movie about just people dying, maybe cathartic a little bit. I don't know.
And weirdly comforting, because those movies, like, I think are like the perfect middle of the road, but really great concept. And they usually always deliver in terms of what you're expecting from them. And on that alone, like, you know, you're never going to get anything more, but you're going to enjoy it for what they are. And yeah, we haven't had one for a while. So,
which is why I'm very excited for it. So I definitely agree with you. It's making the short list. And just to continue the conversation, the actor, Mickey 17, Mother Mary, Saw 11, and Hurry Up Tomorrow. So we had five films that could potentially carry over. So out of our, we had 19 of the films came out and five got punted, but we did originally have Jordan Peele's movie on the list too, but it got delayed before the episode even came out. So I think we put like, we recorded a little epilogue.
As Matt has a sip of his water, we're getting into it.
All right. So I'm going to start. Thank you for just throwing out Bloodlines right away. We will get to Bloodlines.
Oh, it's going to be on there. Trust me.
Let's start, you know, let's skip most of January because it's over. And I don't think, like, maybe Wolfman would have made the list if we did this in December, but I don't think it would have, even though I like Lee Wanal a lot.
And Christopher Abbott, obviously, and Julia Garner.
And Chris Abbott. Like, I think it could have been there. I just think because it was coming out so soon in January, I don't think we would have put it on the list. And now I've heard mixed things. I still do want to see it. I don't think we'll review it for the show just based on timing of everything. Eric, you can give your quick thoughts on Wolfman. Did you like it?
No, it's not bad in the sense of, like, I like what it's trying to do, but I think it needed more time to develop the subtext of it and not simply present it as text, because it's the idea of this cycle of violence through a patriarchal lens and how a father can affect the son and then the son can affect his family and how that cycle of violence and fear continues. And how do you break that and how do you end that and not become the thing that you're afraid of the most, which is your father or yeah. your family or feeling like you're becoming that thing, your parents in a way. So that I really enjoyed. And I think, like, also it's worth noting that The Invisible Man came out right before everything shut down because of the pandemic. And part of that as well feels close to this story where you have, you know, the outside world confining you into this single location, this one space. But the thing that you have to worry about is what's coming from within, the terror from within, the Cronenbergian disease that is affecting somebody personally, and especially when it is a parent and when it is a family member watching them go through palliative care or death in a way that's portrayed in this movie, you know, that's also very frightening. So there's a lot there to appreciate in terms of, like, what's on its mind. But it's the execution of it that is horrible, or just very blatant, where it felt like The Invisible Man actually had some finesse to it, some nuance yeah. in terms of how it was making, you know, a Me Too movie and spinning that in the monster, you know, creature feature realm. So, yeah, it's just unfortunate that it didn't work as well as The Invisible
Man. So what you're saying is the Dark Universe is dead again.
It is. It sure is. I think James Wan is working on a Creature from the Black Lagoon movie. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
There you go. The Saw lineage continues with my two Saw boys. So that won't make our list. We have Back in Action just came out, the Netflix movie. Seth Gordon. No, thank you. continue. I think most of this stuff in January, we can kind of skip. There's a new Nick Cassavetes movie coming out this week. Flight Risk does come out this week. Presence comes out this week. Star Trek Section 31 is a film. I didn't know that. I thought it
must be a TV movie then.
It is. Yeah. Based off one of the Star Trek, properties on Paramount Plus. Yeah, mostly in January. There's, you know, I'm somewhat excited for your cordially invited because I like Nicholas Stoller and I like Will Ferrell a lot. So, but I don't think that would ever
make a short list.
Make a short list, even if it came out later in the year.
This is just to get you through January.
Yeah, like I will it be something I watch with my wife at home because it's a streaming movie, it's an Amazon movie. Like, I think so. Like, I like Bros was okay. I like the Neighbors movies. I really do like Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So, you know, I'll give the guy a shot anytime he makes a comedy, but, and I like Will Ferrell a lot, so, I'll probably watch that with my wife, but I don't think it would ever, make a list, for most anticipated. Let's keep going into the end of January. Companion, a movie, as we're recording this, we're going to see tonight. I'm excited for it. I don't think it would make a most anticipated list.
No. But, I think like it's worth mentioning just because it's from the people that did Barbarian. And so not that that necessarily means anything, but it's got a good cast. And, you know, I've been mostly staying away from any spoilers. So, you know,
I've seen the trailers, which show a lot, but I like the cast. Yeah, I like the producing team, so with Zach Cregger and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I don't think it would have made a most anticipated list. So that kind of gets us out of January. So nothing from January makes a list, and then we can kind of go into February moving forward. And if I miss anything, please point it out, Eric, if you had something.
I thought you were like asking the viewers.
No.
Can you please like somehow interact with us and tell us?
No. Kind of Pregnant, a Happy Madison Netflix movie with Amy Schumer, Will Forte, Damon Wayans. Not going to make the list.
Nope.
Not going to lie. Love Hurts, the Ki Hui Kwan movie with Ariana DeBose.
She's had a bad year last year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Love Hurts. I've enjoyed what I've seen from the trailers. Like, it looks like it could either be fun or a trash fire, but I don't know which way it's gonna go, but I can't say I'm necessarily like excited for
I'm happy for Ki Hui Kwan to get a leading role. I wouldn't be surprised if this is somehow in the movie connected to Nobody, because it's from the same crew in the same production team.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So cool. It does feel like, oh, they're maybe setting up like a universe here.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. That would be interesting. I wouldn't expect that, but like, I could see that as well. But yeah, you know, it's one of those John Wick-esque, you know, assassin
brought out of retirement to settle an old score.
Yeah. And I'm with you. Ki Hui Kwan getting a lead role and showcasing him. I'm all for that. Here's one that I am excited for. I don't know if it'll make our list, but Josh Rubin's Heart Eyes. I like Rubin a lot. I like him both as a comedian and as a director.
One of the best video game adaptations ever.
Werewolves Within. You know, Scare Me was a cool concept as well. I like what he's done on Dropout. If anyone watches some stuff on Dropout, he's very funny on Dropout. I am excited for Love Hurts, Hard Eyes. But
I mean, it could have been called Love Hurts.
Yeah. I don't know if it would make a top 24 though. So I don't even, or top 25. Like, I don't think we maybe need to put it on.
No.
On
and it. I think Michael Kennedy's the writer as well.
Who's Christopher Landon as well.
Yeah. So they've worked on the, why am I forgetting this now? like a lot of the Blumhouse movies.
Yeah, Happy they did Death Freaky, Happy Death Day. Yeah. Those.
So movies. it'll be.
We have a ghost.
It'll be a self-aware slasher flick, so it probably won't feel icky in comparison to the movies that it's resembling.
Sure, I agree with that. So I'm excited for it. I just don't even think we need to put it on the short list. Do you?
No.
Yeah.
Still want to see it, but yeah,
I'm very excited.
There's a feeling of like, oh, this is just like nice to have something
early February. Yeah, I agree with that. Let's keep going. Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy. Can't say I'm surprised they're doing another Bridget Jones, but I don't think either of us are the biggest Bridget Jones fans.
No,
right?
Can't say so. I'm mad about this one.
Ha. Okay. Captain America, Brave New World.
Speaking of, I think we've got a ghost.
I forgot he was in that.
He's the lead.
I forgot. Anthony Mackie, one of those guys that. So here, here's the thing. It's a Marvel movie, so you know.
To your allegiance.
You know Matt's excited for it. But, however, there's a couple things, pros and cons for this movie. Pro, I'll say it's a pro, is Harrison Ford.
Well, Harrison Ford just not caring is amazing.
Well, him not caring, but weirdly caring more than like ever. Like it's funny how much he hates Star Wars, but he's like fine with like other.
He's having a good time now in his Twilight.
Which is
of
like
his crew,
I'm watching Shrinking season 2, and it took me a while to get to it. I love that show. I think it's wonderful. Harrison Ford is great on it, and I love Harrison Ford, and I think he is a great replacement
for William Hurt.
For William Hurt, and that character, I just don't know about this one. Like, I like Anthony Mackie as a supporting guy. Like, I don't buy him as a lead. And there's just something that's never quite worked for me when they try to give. And I think it's a bit about Anthony Mackie, who I like, but a lot about Falcon, the character from, you know, the 20-year history of the MCU at this point. And I know he's Captain America now. And I can't get excited enough for this movie. I like that they're finally.
You're not hulking out on this one.
Red Hulk is exciting, you know, bringing back
Red Hulk.
The leader from The Incredible Hulk, right? Like it Tim Blake Nelson coming back, this both feeling like a sequel to The Incredible Hulk and to, you know, the Captain America movies.
And Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito, who it gets typecast a lot now. I can't get really like excited for that, for him playing another kind of.
Well, it shows
like,
you how big Gus was like in terms of that show, right? Like for him.
I like that they're bringing up Tiamat and the hand in the ocean from Eternals. It's the only time we've gotten
acknowledgement.
So it's like a sequel to Eternals. It's a sequel to The Incredible Hulk. It's such a weird amalgamation of things. And then you finally have, you know, we had Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Anthony Mackie becoming Captain America and stuff like that.
Sebastian Stan is a different man now.
Yeah, I just I don't know. And then you have Julius Ona. Who I thought, you know, with Luce was interesting. Cloverfield Paradox was pretty bad.
And that felt like it was out of his control, but so does this. I mean, like, you should never judge the movie ultimately on what you hear or like how a production goes, but it does give you pause for thought when you hear that the movie is being reshot multiple times based on test screening responses and like the Giancarlo Esposito thing. Like he was a last minute addition.
Yeah. He replaced Seth Rollins, I think, or like Seth Rollins got cut out of the movie completely. And then
money's not in the bank for Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Seth Rollins was going to be the leader of the Serpent Society, I think. And now Giancarlo Esposito came in to play this, you know, and we haven't seen any, what does intrigue me is we haven't seen anything from Tim Blake Nelson. And we've only heard his voice like in one shot of the trailer, which is kind of exciting. And then they're really playing off that the Red Hulk is the villain of the movie, right? Like we haven't, even Giancarlo Esposito, we've seen a couple moments, but they're really kind of playing it off as this Captain America versus Red Hulk kind of thing. And I like, you know, political thrillers. I love movies about, you know, attempted assassinations on the president. And, you know, Harrison Ford is also very great at playing the president. And like, there's a lot I'm intrigued by, but I still can't get super pumped for it. And we are like 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away from this movie. And it doesn't feel like we're 3 weeks away from a Captain America movie, and it,
or a new Marvel movie even, right? Like just the idea of like, okay, this is post Deadpool and Wolverine, and take that as you will, like in terms of you like, you know, that film or not, you know, you think like what's coming next down the pipeline is something to be excited for or to like anticipate to some degree. But even with, you know, the conversation with the Israeli character being watered down, you know, it's a political thriller. And like, I think what they're trying to do, and you kind of talked about this, is that I think they're trying to recreate Captain America, the Winter Soldier a little bit. Yes, right.
Absolutely.
And it just, like everything you're watching with this film, it just kind of, it feels like it's on autopilot for the most.
Yeah. Part. So I don't think it'll make the list, because if we're going to put a Marvel movie on here, we all know which one we're probably going to put, the one that's more intriguing.
Kraven the Hunter too.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get to that. So I just, you know, I always need to kind of pitch my case for a Marvel movie, but I really don't think that this,
you don't I'll have to defend all Marvel movies, Matt, you know, some can know be what? Bad.
And I'll be on, I'll always be honest with you. Yeah. But I think when I'm talking about my anticipation for something, I there's always going to be that part where it's part of this universe that I do genuinely care about and am intrigued by. So I'm trying to, in my own head, go, am I excited for this or am I not? And I think I'm leaning towards not, so which could ultimately
anticipation. More constipation.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that could ultimately help the movie, because if I go in with very low expectations, I could be like, oh, that was pretty fun, or that was good, or like that was exciting, but we'll see. The Gorge. I'm actually kind of looking forward to this. Again, I don't know if it's going to make the list. It's the Scott Derrickson Apple TV Plus movie with Miles Teller and Anya Taylor-Joy, Sigourney Weaver's in it as well. You know, sci-fi movie about them being like kind of snipers on these two posts guarding this gorge, the titular gorge.
It's a meet cute at the gorge.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it. Again, I don't know if it makes this list.
It kind of feels like with also the casting of Sigourney Weaver, like there's a little bit of like a meta quality that The Cabin in the Woods had with it as well. Like it's aware of what it's doing with, you know, playing with horror tropes, conventions, but having like not a comedic spin on it, but you know, being self-aware of what it's trying to do. And it does almost feel like something that would be based on a Stephen King adaptation. Like it does feel like that, even though it's not. So
I definitely agree. So like I'm looking forward to it. I don't think it makes this list.
No. If it was called The Gourd or Gordo, maybe.
One that I think could potentially make this list, we'll see. Osgood Perkins, The Monkey. I been hearing good things. I've liked the trailers. I loved Long Legs. I love Osgood Perkins' style. He's becoming one of my, you know, I guess one of those directors where I will be very, you know, I'll be anticipating his next movie each time. After Long Legs, at least until he kind of, I guess.
He's got two films this year too.
Yeah. So. Are you okay with putting that on the short list? Would you be?
It's gonna be interesting as well, because I do feel like it has some commonality in terms of its premise with Final Destination, with how it works about like the setup of how death is a design.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm definitely excited for it. There's a part of me that doesn't like to give in to movie marketing before seeing the film. And you know, you always want the movie to earn the excitement and the fandom, but there is something about that monkey itself that I want one.
Oh no. And we should all get one for sure.
And then wind it up and kill ourselves.
Jesus. All right. So that's going on the short list for discussion later. I know one that you really want to put on the list, Eric, is The Unbreakable Boy, starring Zachary Levi. Okay, we can move on.
Sorry, I just got back. Where were you?
Yeah, yeah. One thing that kind of makes me, you know, this looks like it's getting a theatrical release, but it does look like those direct-to-VOD movies because it's from Dark Castle Entertainment, is Old Guy, the Simon West movie with Christoph Waltz. Talk about a guy who's kind of just, since Inglourious Basterds, just kind of, you know, maybe he worked as that character and maybe hasn't.
Well, he's great in Django, I think, as well. I don't know if he deserved a win. I mean, in Django, but I think he's really,
I think when he's not working with Tarantino, it's kind of like, I don't know if it's ever worked, you know. He's fine in the Bond movies and stuff like that. But, I don't know if he's worked really since. And now it seems like he's slowly diving into that direct to VOD territory,
although Guillermo is kind of bringing him back a little bit because that's a voice in Pinocchio
and he's in Frankenstein. Yeah so I mean, maybe he just needs to work with good directors. Like, maybe that's it. Like, it's just, I just feel like some of the choices haven't been great. And Old Guy, I remember I watched the trailer and I was, you know, it's got Cooper Hoffman, it's got Lucy Liu, but like it's
looks
one of
pretty
those,
bad though.
It does look bad, so we can just keep going. I don't
know. It looks like it was funded by like money from Saudi Arabia. Like, it's that kind of film, like a DTV movie usually is, you know.
Absolutely agree. Keep going. If I miss anything, you know, I will bring up The Day the Earth Blew Up, the Looney Tunes movie, which did get good reactions out of Annecy, the animation festival, because it screened there. It is having a premiere at TIFF, like at the Lightbox with a Q&A and stuff like that. I love the Looney Tunes, you know, grew up with them. I'm excited for this being a fully animated Looney Tunes movie. It feels like something that, you know, would have got shit canned or something. But like, speaking of the
Coyote versus Acme.
So I'm surprised that this is getting a release. Excited for it. I don't think it'll make the list, right?
No. Happy that it is getting a shot, you know, like that it escaped the tax write-off.
Yes. We have late February, The Legend of Ochi. I'm looking forward to this. It's playing Sundance, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
It's an A24 film.
Yeah, Finn Wolfhard.
The director had to post a statement saying that the film is not made with AI.
Because people thought it was. Yeah, which is the worst thing that's going to happen, is just people saying things look like AI.
And then the filmmakers having to come out and be like, guys, it's not.
Cool
your jets.
I'm looking forward to this. I think, you know, it's the trailer was really intriguing. I think it's got a good mix of, like, you know, puppets and animation, and I think it's got a really cool style to it. And
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, and it's got Willem Dafoe. Do we think it even has a shot at the 25?
No, I don't. Yeah. I still want to see it though, but I do feel like it's I'm grateful to get something early that maybe is of substance.
No, not the substance though.
Although I do have that on 4K.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. MUBI rarely releases any of their films physically, so
We can keep going. That was kind of the end of February. So moving into March,
you forgot about Last Breath, the diving movie.
I was gonna bring it up, but
I mean, it's not gonna make the list, but
yeah. Are you excited for it or
no? I mean, I like the concept of it, but I feel like it's not as visceral based on the trailer.
I haven't seen the trailer yet, so yeah.
It kind of is generic, but I like the idea of what it's doing. I just feel it could have probably been better executed. I don't know.
Interesting. Moving into March, Mickey 17, which I will say, who are we kidding? It will probably make the list again, right?
Yeah, let me see that bong.
Yeah, let me see
that bong.
Baby. Weird Al, save us.
I know. That would be so amazing if he came out like Mickey 7. Like, that would be something that I think both Bong Joon-ho and Robert Pattinson would really like.
Would appreciate,
those guys, those boys are freaks, so.
So I've put that on the short list because I think that will, who are we kidding, will probably make the list.
I'm still very excited to see it. Even more so now knowing, like, how shitty Bong Joon-ho has been treated by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Post Parasite, like, this is like his follow-up film to the Best Picture winner of 2019. This should be getting all the bells and whistles possible, like, no matter what you think of the film.
I agree, Eric. So it'll probably make our list. Who are we kidding? Plankton the movie. They're still making SpongeBob movies, and I appreciate it. I'm just not a SpongeBob guy. So
yeah, I think we're at that age where we just it. Like, I appreciate what SpongeBob is. I everything I've seen of it, I do like.
I just think we missed the mark on SpongeBob by a few years, right?
Yeah.
And I think there is – I understand why it has a huge fan base. And I think if we were maybe 5 to 10 years younger, like, we would have watched all the SpongeBob movies and been all in on it. But
– Rocko's Modern Life is like our version of that, or I guess Ren and Stimpy to a certain extent.
Yeah, totally.
You know.
Paul W.S. Anderson has a new movie in The Lost Lands with Mila Jovovich. And
now that looks like it's AI.
Yeah, it looks – terrible, so not gonna make the list.
Vulgar Tour.
On Becoming a Guinea Fowl, you saw at
TIFF. Great movie, excellent film. Again, that's, we were talking about The Shrouds before. It's like, you know, it's played the festival circuit, it's now getting its release. It probably doesn't need to be on the list just because
we've kind of already seen it.
But it's like my, and I, again, we're only in January, but it's like in my top five, so it says like it is a really good movie.
Let's keep going. What is Queen of the Ring? It sounds like a wrestling movie, so that's why I'm intrigued by it. Biographical sports film chronicles the life of revolutionary female wrestler Mildred Burke. I don't know who that is, but I like a wrestling movie, so it won't make the list, but I'm intrigued. We have our
Glow.
I did.
Yeah.
I liked it. I didn't continue with it. It only had, what, the two seasons or three seasons?
Yeah.
But enjoyed the first season. It just never went back to it. Soderbergh's got his second film of the year, second in 3 months.
Working with David Koepp as well.
Black Bag. You have Michael Fassbender, Cate Blanchett. There was a teaser that came out, right, of this.
Looks good.
I'll throw it on here. You know, Soderbergh's always going to be one of those guys that I'll, no pun intended, be in the bag for, and I'll give him a shot. Didn't like Presence, but you know, I like the man a lot, so I'll be excited for anything.
He's pushing my love with his next movie, The Christophers, which has James Corden in a lead role.
Oof.
Yeah.
Jack Quaid in his second leading role in 3 months as well. We have him in Novocaine.
Yeah, not to be confused with the Steve Martin movie Novocaine.
Yeah, which also Amber Midthunder. Kind of another, isn't it kind of like Crank a little bit?
Yeah,
or something?
But except the superpower isn't like, you know, he's dying and he has to always like, you know, up the ante.
He just doesn't. He can't feel pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it almost falls into the nobody category too, right?
Yeah. Like that kind of, every man needs to get revenge kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Or save the day or do something like that.
Not going to make our list, but I'm excited for it.
Wait.
All right. This is probably not going to make the list, especially because I know your opinions on these dudes. And I just really like the graphic novel it's based off of is The Electric State.
Yeah.
I'm still intrigued by it. I think if you're thinking about big movies this year, it's got to be one of Netflix's biggest movies they've released. But the history with, you know, Russo's post, not even post Marvel, just outside of Marvel, I guess post Marvel, because before that I liked some of their stuff on Community and things
you
like
always
that,
talked but, about you, me and Dupree all the time.
One of my favorites. Yeah. but the Russos outside of Marvel haven't quite worked yet. You have a lot of
Matt, what are you saying? Know, the Gray Man, everyone watches that. They quote it at nonstop.
And that being the last thing they made with Netflix, it's, you know, even them going back to Marvel now kind of shows like, oh, we might need to do something a little bit, you know, it's a risk, but safer in air quotes. But I am very much looking forward to this, but it because I, you know, it has the writers from Endgame and Infinity War.
And you read the source material.
I like the book is really cool, which is, it's basically a series of, you know, concept art, but it has a story within it. And, you know, I like the cast. You have, you know, Millie Bobby Brown, you know, maybe not Chris Pratt, but like Ke-Huy Quan, Jason Alexander, Woody Harrelson, Anthony Mackie, Brian Cox, Jenny Slate, Giancarlo Esposito, Stanley Tucci, a lot of Marvel people. I don't think we'll ultimately put it on the list, but I am looking forward to it, or I'm cautiously optimistic, or think it could be just a, I do hope this plays somewhere like a Lightbox, because I feel like it'll be better in a theater than watching it on,
or at least a press screening, because they did press screen The Gray Man, and so
I think it's I think it will get a theatrical release, because it's like a big blockbuster, right? Like, yeah, it's a big expensive movie.
Well, with Greta Gerwig as well, you know, negotiating her Narnia release, film, yeah, like that's a good step. But also, I would be like, I feel bad for all the other people, like the Rian Johnsons of the world, that have been, you know, Daniel Craig advocating for the Glass or the Knives, yeah, Out movies to be released theatrically. And yeah, it's like, you're giving them like maybe like 1 week or 2 weeks at most
at a specialty theater. Yeah. Yeah.
But it,
yeah,
also could be Your Motherless Brooklyn, where you love the source material, but then you see the final version of it. Oh, and you're like,
I'm 1,000% ready for that. So like, if it's anything like The Gray Man or whatever, right? You're just like, oh my God, there's nothing. It's just lifeless.
Yeah. Everyone watches Citadel.
Yeah. I'll bring up Opus, but after watching the trailer yesterday,
I like the idea of it.
I like the idea, but it just feels like the menu to me. I'm like, yeah, didn't I just see the menu like a year ago or something? Like,
worshipping John Malkovich.
Yeah, I love John Malkovich. I love Io Edebiri, but like
Murray Bartlett's in there.
Yeah, Murray Bartlett.
It has a Wonka thing though too, right? Like you know, these people have been selected to, you know, document this eccentric rock star. So,
and I'm intrigued, but I can't,
I get what you're saying. I'm just trying to make like a devil's advocate for it.
Yeah.
And it's A24, so, and it's playing Sundance. So I guess like we'll hear soon anyways how it plays.
Snow White, not going to make the list.
That's one of those movies, Mark like Webb, nothing Snow against White. Love Hurts, but Love Hurts and Snow White, it's like those are the movies you're excited to watch, because then you'll never have to see the trailers again for them, because they already feel like they've been played out so much.
I haven't seen the trailer for Snow White that much, but yeah, Love Hurts I have, but
yeah.
Barry Levinson's Alto Nights.
Oh God. That to me,
that trailer
looks
was,
like a scary movie parody of Italian mafia movies,
exactly,
to the point where there's a insert shot of spaghetti and meatballs. And I could not stop laughing.
It's absurd. It's absurd. Not making the list, not making the list. What else do we got here? I'm just going through. Oh, Magazine Dreams is finally coming out.
Yeah, it's the same company that released The Apprentice.
Yeah.
They only work with problematic material.
Yeah. David Ayer's A Working Man with Jason Statham.
Another movie I could not stop laughing watching the trailer, where it's like Jason Statham in a hard helmet.
Yeah, exactly. He's a working man, baby.
He's wearing plaid.
Not going to make the list.
No, but it is amazing how
Stallone
well
wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, okay. It is amazing how well The Beekeeper did.
Yeah,
financially speaking.
Yeah, it is in that. Yeah,
it's super conservative.
Weird. Yeah, exactly. Okay, we got here. We go. Jaume Coletzera.
Oh yeah,
The Woman in the Yard.
It's not bad. I don't know if it'll make our short list, but it's not a bad little atmospheric trailer. Danielle Deadwyler, who just worked with him in Carry On, so you know
I don't know if it'll make the list, but always excited for a Jaume Coletzera movie.
Our Trash King.
Yeah, exactly. Death of a Unicorn, don't think it'll make the list.
I didn't like the trailer. I felt it was like a little too indie in like the worst kind of way.
I kind of agree with you, but I love Paul Rudd enough that I'm
I do too.
Kind of there, but I agree with you. I can't really get super on board. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Road Trip. So is this like a sequel?
I think it's kind of like a reboot, because I think Eva Longoria is one of the leads in it, as one of the parents.
Okay. Produced by Sean Levy.
God. You can't escape him.
Not going to make the list. Minecraft. Or, sorry, my bad. A Minecraft movie. No. Not gonna make the list. You know, I have to bring it up because I'm the video game movie guy. And Jared Hess, you know, soft spot for Nacho Libre and Napoleon Dynamite.
Nacho Libre is very funny.
you know, probably I haven't even seen any of his other movies since then, really. I'm looking through.
Will we get an Art the Clown skin, or is that Fortnite? That's Fortnite. Sorry.
Well, Minecraft sometimes has things like that, but yeah, you're thinking
when are we getting that movie, the Fortnite film?
God, I don't know, but no, not gonna make the list. The trailers haven't been, you know, actually the newest trailer, there was one that I was like, okay, I'm I don't know, we'll see. Not gonna make the list. New Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck movie, Freaky Tales.
Oh, that played Sundance last year. It's an anthology movie with Pedro Pascal. Because he has to be in every other film, right?
What were the reactions? Any good?
Muted.
Yeah, okay. So not going to make the list. Not that that matters, but I didn't know much about it anyway. So I do remember it playing Sundance last year.
Yeah.
Okay, we're starting to get into the summer movie season, so we're going to start to get some bigger movies now. We already talked about Christopher Landon, but he does have his own film coming out that he directed called Drop. I like Landon, but I don't think this will make
I didn't even watch the trailer, which just neither dropped.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this could be like one of those movies where it's like a nice surprise or a nice like
fun
kinda, movie, yeah, that gives you something to like, you know, just enjoy in the moment, which a lot of his movies are, you know. We Have a Ghost being the one weird,
sure, stuff. Yeah. We Have a Ghost, that's not even the title, is it?
Or I what think
is
so
it? I don't know. I will bring up The Amateur. I did like the trailer for this. Rami Malek, obviously, we've been, since, you know, love-hate relationship with Rami Malek. I like Mr. Robot a lot.
Well, there was a time where he was like a perfectly adequate supporting player in, you know, The Master and movies, Short-Term 12, you know, where it's like, oh,
leading man?
He's not.
I don't know.
And was he, did he besmirch the legacy of Freddie Mercury? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think since then is when, you know, I've been, I don't know about this. And
but you're feeling it, huh? You're feeling Amateur Hour.
I like the trailer.
I like the idea of it, too. Like, it does feel like it is playing a little bit into the Taken atmosphere of, like, let's take this actor who doesn't have, like, the credibility of an action star, per se. Even though Liam Neeson did have genre stuff before, you know, Schindler's List and stuff like that. But, you know, Rami Malek's never really done an action movie as a lead, even though he was in the Spike Lee Old Boy remake and basically cut out of that film. Except he gets a hammer to the head.
And I like that they're playing up, like, he doesn't look like an action star, and it's kind of nerdy and techy the way that he like takes people out and is kind of awkward. And I like that. And it's kind of playing into the Mr. Robot stuff, really. But I was intrigued by the trailer. I thought the trailer was good. We'll see. Like, I don't know if it'll make this list, but I did like the trailer. I will say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to new Alex Garland. We have Warfare, which is
co-directed by him and Ray Mendoza.
Starring, isn't it actual soldiers?
No, it's actors. Or Charles Melton.
Yeah, sorry, my Will bad. Poulter. It's based off of, I think, one of the guys.
Ray Mendoza, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also a military consultant on Civil War.
Yeah. So he was a former soldier, and he's co-directing this movie with him.
Yeah. Mendoza!
I love Garland. So I think this is a potential. I did like the trailer.
This could be technically Garland's last film as a director for a while too, because he has threatened retiring from directing, even though he will still write, which he has written the script for 28 years later.
Yeah. And maybe him co-directing it is a sign of that as well. But I'm looking forward to this. We'll see if it makes a list. It probably won't, but we'll see. Let's keep going here. The King of Kings. What is this? Good cast.
Oh, it's like an animated religious movie with Oscar Isaac.
Okay.
As Jesus.
The animated Jesus movie. Okay. Yeah, I did hear about this. A story told by Charles Dickens. Seong Ho Jang directed it. Kenneth Branagh, Uma Thurman, Mark Hamill. The story, The Life of Our Lord. Okay. Yeah, probably not going to make the list, but hey, it's there.
It's April.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Ryan Coogler's Sinners. It's probably going to make the list, and I'll put it on the short list here. Not much else to say. Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, Haley Steinfeld, IMAX. I like the trailer. I think you said you were more mixed on
it. I'm mixed on it just because I feel like, okay, they're going to do the twin brothers thing where one becomes evil or a vampire and the other one is good. And it'll be like, even to the point where like the costume design is like one has a blue hat, one has a red hat.
Sure.
It's a little on the nose, but I like that Ryan Coogler is doing something original.
I agree. And the IMAX trailer was pretty dope. Like, to see the full frame IMAX stuff. Seeing that trailer in IMAX, I was like, oh fuck yeah. So absolutely.
And it looks nice. Like it's beautifully shot.
Yes, I agree. I'm gonna keep going. If I miss anything, you let me know. The Ritual, which is Dan Stevens, Al Pacino.
Oh, it's like a VOD type movie.
Okay. I just like seeing Dan Stevens. The Accountant 2, not going to make the list.
Oh,
but,
I have feelings about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That
of The Accountant. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially where autism is going right now.
Yeah. It's a big moment autism.
Ben Affleck salute.
Save autism. I don't know. We'll see. we can joke about that because, we're not.
It's been a tough week, people.
Yeah. I am shocked this movie's getting a sequel. I can't remember a single fucking thing from the
first
one.
It's done well. Like it did well when it was released, but it found a second life on streaming. Like it's kind of like a dad movie now. So I'm surprised that it is getting a sequel, but at the same time, I guess it's done well enough where it's like, oh, we can shoot this cheaply and get it out there.
Yeah. Until Dawn trailer just came out. David F. Sandberg, who is going back to horror after doing the two Shazam movies, director of Lights Out and Annabelle Creation. It is a video game adaptation. I've played this game. I really enjoy the game. I think it's interesting what they're doing with the movie of taking the concept of Until Dawn and even kind of the video gamey kind of aspect of dying and getting another life, essentially. That's not necessarily how the video game goes. The video game is about choices, and it's basically a choose your own adventure style game where a killer is hunting you down, and basically you can play throughout the game, and it has multiple different endings, and all the characters can either die or live based on your choices. So the concept of the movie, it seems like they're taking different horror genres, kind of like A Cabin in the Woods, which we've already mentioned. And then every time you die, you come back and you have to try to make it until dawn. And I think if you don't make it up to a point, everyone dies something.
And then you have
like
to start
that.
All over again.
Yeah, but there is a time limit to a sense of people who could die and stay dead. So I'm interested in it. I would never put it on a most anticipated, but I don't know. I like the game enough. I like that they're kind of going the opposite route of not adapting the game, but kind of doing something different.
Which might work in its favor, right? Because we're now in this post Last of Us, video game adaptations can work. So this almost feels like a trial run for the genre of horror in video games, and Peter Stormare being both in the video game and in the film. You mentioning the Cabin in the Woods is another one I thought of, and like Groundhog Day a little bit as well. And the Happy Death Day movies, it kind of plays into that avenue. Yeah. I'm curious about it. Like in terms of, you know, can the video game adaptation now find this new sort of resurrection, I guess, of,
I think we're there and we're getting even closer for taking over of being like,
there'll be like the new comic book movie.
Yeah, kind of. And it is a PlayStation production. So same studio as Last of Us and stuff like that. So they also did make Uncharted. So, you know, they're not, it's not perfect, but I think Samberg going back to horror after doing a couple Shazam movies, I think is smart. And I am intrigued by it. Okay, another Marvel movie, Thunderbolts, coming out in early May. This is kind of their big May. Like, they'll have two summer movies, but May is always a big month for movies, even though that summer movie season starts early and earlier every year. I think we're probably only going to put one Marvel movie on the list. And again, I don't think that this
I'll give you two if we don't put Superman on the list.
So, that's gonna be a conversation later. Yeah,
because I will do everything to block Superman.
I'm okay with the hot take of not putting Superman, so like you don't have to fight me that hard on
I know, because, but like, I do recognize that it will be a film that people will be talking about this year, and it probably will be,
and
on
most
a lot of
people will
be, so
most people, but I think our spicy take being the Bad Boys of cinema is kick Superman to the curb, because we all know Superman is the third best Superman after Goku and Mark from Invincible.
Exactly.
And we are getting more Dragon Ball and Invincible this year. So
yep.
Maybe not in movies, but So Thunderbolts, again, I'm excited for Thunderbolts. I really like the trailer. I like kind of, it's what we said about What If, of like bringing a group of people that haven't really interacted in the MCU that much together and doing kind of this Dark Avengers kind of bit where you have finally the payoff to some of the Julia Louis-Dreyfus stuff. You finally have the payoff to
Ghost,
the Avengers Towers stuff. Yeah. You have great characters like Ghost from Ant-Man and the Wasp. And
that's where it does feel like it's scraping the bottom of the barrel a little bit, not because of like Florence Pugh or Sebastian.
But I kind of like that a little
bit. I don't mind it either, but it is also that the comparison will be, oh, this is Marvel Suicide Squad. Basically.
It is. And with getting Creature Commandos and multiple Suicide Squad movies, and like, we've kind of had a lot of that, like, we're the bad guys, but we have to team up to be to save the world,
but there's someone worse, like, out there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So like, we've had a lot of that, but yeah, I do like Florence Pugh, Sebastian Stan, David Harbour, Wyatt Russell a lot.
Taskmaster.
So, like, everyone's favorite Olga Kurylenko is Taskmaster. So like, having a couple, like, maybe it's not the villains I would have chosen, but
Daniel Brühl as well, like, that was like the, everybody thought he would be a part of it. But it doesn't
maybe
seem like
still
Zemo
is.
Maybe Zemo's the villain. I don't know.
Maybe Zemo's in there somewhere. I always liked Zemo. So, I think we'll see. But I really like the trailer, but it's not, again, it's kind of in that Captain America realm where it's like, I'll wait and see. Like, I'm looking forward to watching them, but I'm not necessarily like, I can't fucking wait. Oh my God, Thunderbolts is this year. So,
Zemo is my favorite cash exchange app. Not Venmo, yeah. Zemo. Yeah. Zemo me.
Zemo me, yeah. We have the Kogonada movie with Margot Robbie and Colin Farrell, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey.
Yeah, that could, you know, there hasn't been anything released on it as of yet. This is post-Barbie, you know, this is right after Barbie. So, you know, people will be interested. Koganaga is a great director with After Yang and Columbus. So there's a lot there, but it's also interesting that we haven't gotten much. And like, even when you read the synopsis of the film, it's kind of generic.
yeah, there's not really much on it, right? Like, it's just, I mean, he will always be a guy that I will, you know,
that I'll
contemplate, you know, putting it on a most anticipated list. So I think it goes on the short list for sure.
Yeah.
And great actors too, right? So, we have, the Michel Gondry, movie Golden, which is the second Pharrell Williams biopic coming out this year, right? Or did Piece by Piece come out at the end of the last year?
Yeah, it was October.
Okay. I thought it was maybe this year, but not gonna make the list. No. I'll watch it and I'm curious, but after seeing Piece by Piece, and having two biopics,
like,
about
how
yourself,
egotistical can you be?
Like that you think you deserve two movies, one in Lego and one by Michel Gondry as a musical, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I can't put it on the list.
But, I can't either.
But I'm,
that's too much hubris. Now, if it was Better Man 2, I'd be there.
God, Better Man rocks. Now we're at Final Destination Bloodlines, which got a special shout out at the beginning of the
episode. Whole episode is just designed to put Final Destination.
It is. It's on the short list, and it might make the list. And then we have Hurry Up Tomorrow, which is also coming out on the same day as Final Destination Bloodlines, which we had on our list last year. So will it make it? Well, it's going on the short list, but we shall see at the end. Now we're getting to the big movies, like week by week. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning.
Yes.
Am I the Final Reckoning? No longer Dead Reckoning Part 2.
We'll never get that movie. We'll always question where that film went.
It's just this.
I know.
So definitely going on the short list.
Well, that and Wicked changing its title. Like, people don't.
There
like
will be
part
no
two.
More part twos. No. Like, everything will just have a subtitle now.
Or they'll just go by two. Like, if it is just a sequel.
Yeah. I don't think I can like put it on the list because I haven't even seen the first thing, but I like Dean Fleischer Camp a lot. So Lilo and Stitch.
Marcel Duchamp with shoes on is wonderful. Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about these live action, I'm putting in quotes, remakes, and Lilo and Stitch being one I haven't actually ever watched the original. So maybe that will benefit seeing this. Maybe I should do it reverse order. Again, a Disney live action remake, I can't anymore put it on a most anticipated. I just can't. I don't think, no matter what it is, unless it's maybe like one of my favorite movies of all time or something.
David Lowry directing it.
Yeah. Like, someone who has a track record of doing it well. Yeah. And maybe Dean Fleischer Camp will do it well. I don't know. I hope he does, because I think Marcel Duchamp is great.
And Lilo and Stitch is one of those ones as well that came at a point where, like, I think we were both kind of outgrowing Disney at that point. So like, I don't have a natural, maybe that'll work in its favor, affinity for it or nostalgia for it in the way that I'm sure like a lot of people that grew up at that period do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could work for it, could work against it.
Agreed. One that's definitely going on the short list, Karate Kid Legends.
Oh, hell yes.
Like, come on.
I still got to finish,
Cobra Kai.
I got it. I'll watch. I mean, well, obviously I'll finish it before.
Wait for part three to come out and then just watch it all.
Thing,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely going on the short list. Probably going to make the list.
God, I hope William Zabka cameos in it.
Like, he has to, right? Yeah. Like, there's no way you don't have, I mean, whatever happened, maybe he gets killed off in the last.
He gets gunned down.
Like, there's some ridiculous stuff in parts one and two of, the last season, but I'm excited to watch those final episodes of Cobra Kai, and then getting a new Karate Kid movie where you have Machio coming back, you have Jackie Chan coming over from the Jaden verse. I'm definitely intrigued by it. Life of Chuck, a movie we both have already seen. I liked it. You were kind of mid on it.
The second neon Stephen King adaptation of this year, because the monkey.
I'm not going to make the list, but I think it is, you know, it won the People's Choice at TIFF and stuff. So it's definitely going to be on some people's most anticipated. So,
and there will be a lot of people that like it. So, you know,
From the world of John Wick, Ballerina, I can't put it on the list because of Len Wiseman, but I will say I enjoyed the trailer quite a bit.
Well, also, you know, we were talking about this before with Captain America, you know, some things like you have to look at the movie as like how it ultimately ends up, and you can have a conversation afterwards, but there has been a lot of talk about reshoots
where he kind of got taken off the movie. Right. Yeah. And didn't you have David Leitch or someone come back?
Was David Lynch? To like, basically amp up the action sequences.
Yeah. So how much Len Wiseman is still in the movie, who knows? But
I mean, that auteur stamp is pretty strong, Matt.
He is not my favorite. No. Okay. I don't think it'll make our list, right? Like, I'm excited.
No,
for
it won't.
I guess, but
it
like,
won't. And that's coming from someone that saw John Wick Chapter 4 3 times.
Yeah.
Didn't like the original John Wick movies, by the way, as well.
I know, that's amazing. Okay, now we're getting into some DreamWorks and Pixar. We have Elio. Man, track record. I'm glad they're doing something original. I will say that. I can't get too chuffed about
too chuffed? You're turning too British here?
I can't get excited for this. Can you?
No.
You have Nomi Shih coming in.
And that's the problem, right? Because that's another one where they've been restructuring and changing things, and Nomi Shih having to come in and possibly change part of the narrative. Like, it is almost screaming The Good Dinosaur a little bit.
Yeah. And just everything I've seen from it, I'm so glad they're doing something original.
It's got to win you over. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Win or lose. which is a Pixar show that's coming out or has come out this month, but I haven't seen anything from it. So I don't even think I want to put it on the short list. I don't know how you feel about
that. Yeah, I don't either. I feel like even hearing like how Pixar now is the mandate is sequels and watering things down. It's getting depressing over there.
And we haven't even enjoyed the last few, like something like Elemental, which wasn't original too, like, which we are kind of in the minority on, but I really didn't like that movie at all.
Wade
sucked.
Horrible.
Wade is terrible. And now, speaking of live action remakes, now from a different company, we have How to Train Your Dragon coming out.
Absolutely not.
No, I agree. Absolutely not. But like, I'm in the minority of not even caring about that original trilogy. And I know you really like those movies.
I really do like it. Idea of Gerard Butler coming back. That is funny to me, but that looks like AI. That trailer looks like it was somebody just typed in live action How to Train Your Dragon, and that's what you got.
Yeah, I will see it, and I could be surprised by it because I'm kind of not super hot on the originals, but I do want to go back and revisit them because I feel like those could be movies that I think I was just indifferent at the time, but if I watch them now in sequential order and close together and stuff like that and fully focused, I might be into them. But
and is it just like, gonna be a shot for shot remake,
that's what I'm worried about, right? Like it looks like it from the, and you have the director of the animated movies,
and Toothless is the same design.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. When you make, I start to go, what are we doing here? When like, you're not even making it look like a real dragon. It looks like an animated dragon.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, okay, why? Like, why? Those movies aren't even that old and they're gorgeous looking still. And like, I don't get it.
Well, I'd be asking the same question with Moana too, you know?
Oh God.
The why is money. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to.
28 years later, I would say goes on the short list.
Oh yeah, that trailer is really well done.
Yeah, is really good. Shot on iPhone. I'm really excited to see kind of how that works and looks. I thought the trailer was, you could tell it's iPhone, but like if you really know what you're looking for, but like, you know, coming back to this so many years later, no pun intended, and having Danny Boyle direct it, Alex Garland writing it, Jodie Comer, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Jack
Craven
Connell,
himself,
Ray Fiennes, like definitely intrigued by it.
Yeah.
F1, Joseph Kaczynski, definitely going on the short list.
His Days of Thunder.
Yeah. Like, I mean, following up Top Gun Maverick, I think this will be one of the most anticipated movies of the year. You have, you know, him taking what he learned in that movie and putting it into, you know, F1 racing cars. And I think it'll be quite the experience in IMAX, and just the sound and some of those shots alone, and how fast these cars go. Like, I'm not even a big race car, like racing fan, but you know, I am very much looking. I think this will be my dad's most anticipated movie of the year. My dad loves NASCAR. He loves F1. So like, and F1's pretty, like, after that Netflix doc, it got a pretty big boost in like fans in North America and stuff. So I think this will be, a huge movie probably for Apple. And
it has to be just though, like, I think as well, yeah. Right? Because it is so expensive and time consuming. And, you know, Gran Turismo also did well for what it was, you know?
Yeah. I think are you excited for it, or?
Yeah. I mean, like, I really liked Rush, and that's like my extent or knowledge of Formula One racing. So yeah. I think like it's partly like, I don't know if I was excited for Top Gun Maverick when.
Yeah. I don't know if that would have made, I probably would have just based off the Top Gun name, but like,
but that's
kind of, did we put it on our list?
I don't know if we did. And you know, like that's the thing, right? Like, is he going to deliver something like that, but for Formula One racing, or is it going to just be Oblivion or, you know, Spider-Head or things like that again, where it kind of is generic? You hope that it's going to be the latter, and like he's doing the Tony Scott thing of like, you know, doing the jets and now doing the cars, you know,
which I'm fine with. What year did Top Gun come out?
Maverick?
Yeah.
Wasn't it 2020
or was it 2021?
I think it was 2021 because it was the same year as Nope, or 2022.
Was it 2022?
Looking it up,
man. Was it actually? Maybe. Like the same year as the Batman and stuff like that? No.
2022.
It was 2022.
Yep.
Really? Holy crap. We did not have it on our most anticipated. That's really interesting. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, F1. Okay, Megan 2.0. I mean, probably not going to make the list, but I'm excited for Megan 2. I don't know. Like, I'm.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one. Like, it was a good January, you know, palate cleanser from the award season, and had a very iconic character. Like, it's hard to create a, you know, horror movie villain these days that stands out in any particular way, and Megan felt like a character that did, but also it had funny moments. Like, it actually genuinely was funny. The only thing that I would say is like, okay, are they just now trying to milk what was a surprise hit, and is it just going to be the repeat of what came before? Totally. I think it's the same writer as well, Akilah Cooper. But
I think it'll be fun.
But the release date is different too, right? Because now it's a spring summer release versus, you know, a winter release at the beginning of the year. So how does that compete against some of the bigger films?
I agree. I don't think it'll make the list, but
no,
it'll
be worthy of the short list at least.
Here's one with my, you know, my history, and I know your history too, and the history that they've never made a good sequel, but I will make a pitch for it. Is Jurassic World Rebirth. I, with good conscience, I almost can't, but on one, it's the devil and the angel on my shoulder with Jurassic Park and Jurassic World, where I want it to one day, you know, and we're Lost World apologists a little bit, right? Yeah. Like, we both like,
there's some good stuff in there.
The two movies directed by Spielberg are the ones that I'd say, you know, worthwhile. The rest, not really. And the last one was so bad. Even Jurassic Park 3, you know, I there are moments in there.
That now you are being kind.
I am being kind. Comparatively to the World franchise, I think, though, right?
Yes.
With Fallen Kingdom.
And also the Talking Raptor in that, so.
And the last one was just so bad, Eric. It was just so bad.
Yep.
It was like, they just ruined it, bringing the old cast back and just.
Careful what you wish for.
Wet fart. This one, felt like it was rushed into production, which it was.
Yeah.
I will say the things that give me a little bit of hope is David Koepp and Gareth Edwards.
Yep. This is our second Koepp movie. Well, third, yeah. Really, because Presence he wrote, and also yeah. He's teamed up with Soderbergh twice, and now he's teaming up with
the original writer of Jurassic yeah. Park coming back. Gareth Edwards, who, if you need someone to rush into a movie, he'd be a good choice.
Well, especially for post-production, right? Because he's a visual yeah. effects guy at heart, and the Crater looked great, even though it was very like simplistic in its narrative, and John David Washington was not the best choice for the leading man.
But I think there's a lot of good stuff in the Creator, right?
Yeah.
So, and you have a cast with ScarJo, Mahershala Ali, Jonathan Bailey, who was the one bright spot of Wicked for me. You know, Rupert Friend and friend of the show, Rupert Friend.
I do like Rupert Friend. He is good.
So do I. And there's so much there that I just want this to be. I don't even need, at this point, I don't need a Jurassic World movie to be great. I just need it to be good. If it's Creator level of,
then
good,
it will Eric, be a masterpiece.
It'll be the second best Jurassic Park movie, and will be a masterpiece, which will probably inflate it to being like, holy fuck, it's great. Even if it's just good. If it gets even close to Creator level of style and cinematography and effects, like, I do really like Gareth Edwards. I know he had kind of a rough go with Rogue One, but I think, you know, that was half his movie, half not. I think his Godzilla movie I've come around on.
But even there was rumors about him was, not.
Yes. Having but it. I haven't seen any of that with this. It seems like with the Creator, and then.
I mean, we don't know yet. Like, we'll. Yeah. Like, years later, it'll be like, Rian Johnson directed parts of Godzilla and Jurassic World.
But it's just like it. It did seem like a very quick turnaround, yes. Which maybe gives me
and for a summer release too. Like
I know, but it could be like a smaller Jurassic World movie, right? Like it maybe
Small World.
It could be, like, I don't know. I'm putting it on the short list, and we'll get
yes,
there.
Yes, I agree with you, and like the intrigue is mainly from Gareth Edwards and the people that he is. Bringing in with him talent wise, because I think with all of those people and all those considerations, that's enough to be at least curious about it. And I'm also curious about how it fits into the continuity. And is this kind of like a soft reboot of the world movies in general, or is it its own thing entirely? Is it going to have any references to the world as a whole? You know, like, there are so many things, like is this a continuation?
I think
of Dominion?
So here's
when we
here's
get those fucking grasshoppers in this.
My god, that fucking making Laura Dern look for some fucking Lotus. Grasshoppers or Lotus. The dumbest. That's what everyone's favorite thing about Jurassic Park is fucking Lotus. So it says Zora Bennett, who is Scarlett Johansson's character, a covert operative, is hired to work with paleontologist Dr. Henry Loomis. Great.
What? No. Henry Loomis?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
Donald Pleasance's. Sam Loomis is Donald Pleasance's character's name in Halloween.
I know. Yeah,
so and then also in Psycho, where John Carpenter got it from.
I'm assuming it's a nod to that, and maybe the horror elements of Jurassic Park. And team leader Duncan Kincaid, who is Mahershala Ali, on a top secret mission where their assignment crosses paths with a civilian family, classic, whose boating adventure was overturned by roving aquatic dinosaurs, leaving them all stranded on an island where they must confront a terrifying, ominous revelation that has been kept secret from the world for decades. That means they're going back to some Jurassic Park shit, and that, like, some sort of
great. It's like Wayne Knight is like some sort of like cyborg.
God, yeah, his face is all melted, and like, yeah, it'd be awesome. Will they go back to that fucking Barbasol can? They got to. And I don't know, we'll see. But I'm very generic premise there, I guess. But we'll see. We spent a lot of time on Rebirth, but it might go on the list. Next up, another one that might be on the list, the untitled Trey Parker
film. Yes, that has to go on the list.
Yeah, I think so too. There's a couple comedies this year from people that I'm going to make a big push for. Because there's another one coming out that I know me and you will both put on this list. I just have a feeling. But yeah, this is the Kendrick Lamar, Trey Parker movie. Very interesting premise.
Do you want to read that premise, Matt?
Yeah, sure. The film will depict the past and present coming to a head when a young black man who is interning as a slave reenactor at a living history museum discovers that his white girlfriend's ancestors once owned his. So that'll be fun. That's Matt Stone and Trey Parker. Matt Stone producing the movie, Trey Parker directing it. Trey Parker hasn't directed a movie since, God, was it
Team America?
Team America? Like, it probably was Team America, right?
Yeah.
And then, so that's been since 2004. So 20 years since we got a Trey Parker, directed feature film. You know, they've been working, you know, rumors of Book of Mormon for a long time and things like that, but they've been mostly just doing South Park since. So, I think that's a huge deal that he has a new movie, and Kendrick Lamar being Kendrick Lamar as well. Like, that'll be it'll definitely push the envelope, I think. And,
just that premise.
Yeah. And I'm excited for it. Okay, Eric, we're there. Superman.
Skip.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I will say that I'm of two minds of Superman. I'm with you, I think, in saying that Superman has never really done anything for me. I want Superman to do something for me.
Pay my taxes, Superman.
James Gunn has, like, you know, I think he's always won me over in mostly everything that he's done. And I want him to do that with this movie. Like, and from what I've seen, I worry that it's too deep in itself of being so comic booky. Like, it's almost like the reaction to Zack Snyder's dark, serious, moody, I'm going to say realistic, but not, universe, right?
Yeah, the gaudy nature of it all.
Yeah, and now going to, like, this is the DC universe, it's comic book as fuck. We got Frankensteins running around. We got John Cena. We got some of the continuity of the last universe, some not. We got Guy Gardner and his bowl cut. We got, like, it's very, very
currency.
Yeah, we got Crypto the dog saving Superman.
Invest,
like,
in Bitcoin.
It's so comic booky that and so much going on that I worry that it'll alienate people in a different way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, he is an alien too. So,
thank you for that.
But yeah. I do feel like part of it as well, like, the problem might be what you're mentioning, is that it almost feels like it's trying to set up too much within this one movie for the world itself. Because this kind of feels like, you know, you watched Creature Commandos. That's kind of like the soft launch of the DCU, where this is setting up not only the Superman lore, it's also bringing in Green Lantern. It's bringing in Supergirl. It's bringing all of this stuff that almost feels like the way that the first Dune movie was, like, we're introducing you to all these characters, but there's not actually a story here. It's just mostly like set dressing, you know, like,
I think
putting
there'll
it
be
together.
I believe in James Gunn. I do think that all of that stuff, I think there's not going to be necessarily a focus on, I think there'll be a lot of world building, but I think a lot of it's going to be set dressing in the sense of, this is just what this universe is. It's not necessarily like a lot. I don't know. It's hard to say. That trailer both did nothing for me, but then I'm also like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'll be into this. Cause I liked DC Comics. I read more of than Marvel for a long time when I got back into comic books. Like, Superman, obviously I didn't read, but he's just never really done anything for me. But the DCU was always more intriguing to me than the Marvel universe when I was actually reading comics. Cause I loved reading Batman so much. And then reading Batman made me kind of go out there and read some of the Flash and read some of, you know, whatever. A lot of the Batman comics, and then the events would make me go and read some other stuff. But, yeah, I think because of our feelings on Superman, I think our hot take might be not putting it on this list, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
So I will leave it off, but I still obviously really want to see it.
Well, it still will be a film that it's going to be a big movie for the year. It's going to have an impact. Not that I'm rooting against it, but like if it fails, I wouldn't be heartbroken by that either. You know, I just think that Superman himself as a character is just so bland that, you know, it's not even about like the goody two shoesness of it. It's just more so he's such a generic character in this day and age. And, you know, like the one thing that hopefully Gunn will do that
talk shit about Superman. I just got to run the bat.
Yeah. The one thing that Gunn will do maybe that is a little bit interesting that Snyder completely missed the boat on. And it's one of the few things that is interesting about Superman is that he couldn't save Pa Kent. And it wasn't because, you know, he was in peril from, you know, a creature from another world or, you know, drawn at gunpoint or something like that. It was just simply heart disease. And like that to me was like the thing that made Superman somewhat not relatable, but at least empathetic in the sense of like, oh, even he can't save somebody from, you know, the internal side of someone's life. And, you know, everybody has a shelf life and, you know, you can do everything you can, but when you love someone that's close to you and they die of natural causes or die, you know, of a cause that cannot be corrected in any way, health wise, that has to weigh on a character's own strength and pride and what they can and can't do and feeling helpless, like they just can't do anything. And maybe if that's explored in a deeper way than a lot of the other Superman movies and TV shows have done in the past, maybe that is something. Maybe that's a way to kind of get in on an emotional level and feeling like, you know, you can't always save the day. You know, you can do the best you can, but there are ultimately going to be battles that you fail. And I wish more superhero movies did that. Like, I felt like Endgame did have a little bit of that at the beginning, after Infinity War, where like the heroes lost and they had to sit with that for a period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm just waiting for someone to convince me about Superman. And I've seen other Superman stories, like I said, with Mark from Invincible and
Goku I think is for a lot of people, the one like Goku is so likable and charming and goofy, but you know, like when he has to, he gets angry, but he doesn't always save the people he loves. Like, you know, when Frieza kills Krillin on planet Namek, like, you know, there are moments where he feels like he's failed and you mm-hmm. need those moments. Superman has never gotten a lot of that. It always feels like there's always a way to write out of a situation or yeah. to find like a way to, you know, save the day. And like I was saying before with the Pa Kent stuff in the original comics, it's like that is maybe one of the most compelling parts of that character. And then when you have Kevin Costner being like, don't save me from a tornado, peace out. It's like, oh wow, you squash the one piece of character building that might have been interesting for that person.
Yeah, sorry for the mukbang, everyone. I'm eating a Nutri-Grain bar. Yeah, Dr. Pepper, zero sugar.
I thought you were going to do it in your David Lynch voice.
I got a Dr. Pepper and a Nutri-Grain. Like when he talks about the two Cokes and a cookie.
Well, two cookies and a Coke.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Come on.
Smurfs. We're doing another Smurf movie, huh?
Is Rihanna in this one?
Yep. Nick Offerman, Natasha Lyonne, Dan Levy, Amy Sedaris, Nick Kroll, James Corden, God. Hannah Waddington, Sandra Oh.
I mean, it's an eclectic cast.
Kurt Russell. John Goodman. God,
no, don't tempt me.
I'm okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is one of those films that is like Lego Movie where it surprises you if they're trying to do something that is almost self-aware and parody of what's come before. Mm-hmm. But those live action hybrid movies were pretty bad.
Yeah. I loved the Smurfs as a kid, but it doesn't really do much for me. Do we have room for another legacy horror sequel? Because we have I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Part of me wants to consider that. It's not going to make the list, but
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We don't need to say
especially
much
else, for a film that really doesn't need a legacy sequel.
No.
And also has had a weird, like, two theatrical films and also, I think, at least one or two direct-to-video movies.
Are those canon?
Or? No, they're probably not. But it is interesting that franchise has had a life outside of, you know, the response to Scream being so successful.
Yeah.
The return of Freddie Prinze Jr., everyone.
Yeah, Jennifer, love Hewitt. All right, so here's the big Marvel one of the year, The Fantastic Four First Steps.
Don't like that title.
Hate the title as well. Should just be called Fantastic Four. you don't really need to give it a subtitle.
Or
although,
F4.
God. I'm assuming First Steps means they're the first people to kind of explore the multiverse kind of thing, and that's going to open up the multiverse to, you know, what they've been building to in the multiverse saga. So this is taking place in a alternate universe that kind of has that retro futuristic vibe, that kind of Jetsons kind of 60s future kind of vibe to it, you know, from the director of WandaVision, Matt Shakman. Great cast with Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, Eben Moss-Baccarat. You have Ralph Ineson playing Galactus. You have Natasha Lyonne not playing Birdie, but maybe playing Birdie. You have Julia Garner playing Silver Surfer. I'm all in on this movie from what I've seen. I've really liked the Giacchino theme that came out. I've liked all the kind of leaked, not saying allegedly, if I had seen the leaked footage, I might like it.
As your legal representation.
I've heard of what people explaining what it was like. I've loved the vibe of it. I think having it in an alternate universe and then them being the ones that open up the multiverse, I think could be really interesting. Will we get some of Robert Downey Jr.'s Doom in this movie? I think we might. I loved WandaVision, so I'm here for Shakman doing this. I think he's really great at nailing this vibe from what we've heard they've shown. I'm out of everything, this feels a little bit fresh. I guess the history of Fantastic Four, yes, you could dock the movie for that maybe, because
the Tim Story movies,
they've never quite worked, right? Yeah. Like, but they're so popular in the comics, and before, you know, Iron Man and the Avengers movies, it was Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, and X-Men were like the big Marvel properties, right? Like, no one gave a shit about Iron Man or Captain America. They were all like B-tier heroes. The Avengers were like the losers, where you wanted the X-Men or the Fantastic
Even
Four,
Hulk was
right?
Bigger, like, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So that's why those are the ones that sold to other studios. Marvel made all those movies because those are the only ones no one bought. Like, it's so I am excited to see now, with the popularity of the MCU, the success of the MCU. I know we're in a bit of a down phase, but I think with Deadpool and Wolverine and now Fantastic Four this year, I think we kind of have to get through Captain America and Thunderbolts. Like, those are the two that kind of feel like the leftovers from the COVID and strike era kind of thing, right? Like,
where were you still trying to make movies and TV shows about every single character?
Yeah, and now I feel like once we're now getting into Fantastic Four, which, do I think we're still rushing into the finale of the multiverse saga? Like, we should have had a smaller Avengers movie before Doomsday and Secret Wars. Like, it going from Endgame and Infinity War to another gigantic crossover event on the same level doesn't sit right with me. I feel like we haven't we've done a lot of multiverse stuff, but they got to do a lot of heavy lifting in this movie. And when you want this movie just to be a good Fantastic Four movie, right? Does it get into Iron Man 2 territory of having to set up Avengers movies so much that it kind of hurts this movie?
The self-contained story itself. Yeah.
But I love the vibe. I love everything I've seen from it. The cast is great. I'm not sick of Pedro Pascal yet, but I do really like Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, and Eben Moss Baccarat. So, and yeah, Ralph Innocent as Galactic is perfect.
Yeah.
So
that's my big takeaway from it, is that I'm excited to see conceptually what Galactus looks like is not just a fart cloud, you know?
Yeah. So if I'm pushing for any Marvel movie this year, like, I don't even know if I need to. You said if we don't put Superman, we could put two Marvel movies trade. I have a trade to announce. I don't know if I need Thunderbolts or Captain America. We'll see when we ultimately build the list. But that's my case for Fantastic Four being the one Marvel movie this year.
Yeah, and I feel like with the title as well, maybe what they're going for is something similar to the Spider-Man movies, where maybe it'll be a series of films where it's like first so and so. And I'm also curious about this movie in the sense of the look of the film, like that aesthetic of the 1960s science fiction, you know, kind of like bulky and big, but yet, you know, kind of fun and otherworldly and very colorful. Like if we're looking at like X-Men First Class, like the way that the 60s were portrayed in that movie, you know, to have fun with the costume design and the look and the feel and spend a little bit of attention there. Like that might be something that pulls in people that are, you know, that loved like, for example, like even like the Bond movies of the 60s. So that, I think, is the most intriguing aspect for me. I liked the Fantastic Four as a kid. I think if any of them, of the Marvel movies, is to kind of win me over this year, that would be the one. There is a part of it as well, though, that does feel like, oh, is this also going to be rushed? Because I think they stopped, or they shot the film like in December.
I still believe it could come out in November.
That's the thing. I think it, like, is gonna
Blade's
be
not coming out anymore, right? But they did move something else into the Blade spot. So, like, I thought once Blade got punted for the 45th time, it would
is it to make a Blade movie?
I know, just make it John Wick but with vampires. Like, it's just, it's easy, just do it. Like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. I still could see this. But we're in January now. Like, if they're going to punt it to November, you'd think we'd hear about it. I could see, because there hasn't been a trailer yet either, mm-hmm. right? So I could see the first trailer coming out.
For Captain America.
And then the end of the trailer says November.
Yeah.
Like, I could see it getting punted to later this year. But, like, it depends. Or maybe Shackman, like, maybe, like, Gareth Edwards is, like, good. Like, from the stuff that they've shown at those other events and stuff, like, it looked pretty polished for the aesthetic they were going for.
Well, bringing a TV guy in, right? Like, yeah, the idea, and maybe who can get something done really quickly.
Maybe if they're trying to nail that 60s retro futuristic vibe, the special effects can be a little jank, right? Like, yeah. If you're trying
Kirby,
like,
right? The robot. Like
in a fun, you know, way. Like, maybe it doesn't have to be as crazy special effects as maybe they're trying to utilize more in camera effects and painted backgrounds or like stuff like that. That could be kind of interesting. So I'm sure, you know, Galactus is going to be a huge thing to pull off and stuff like that. Silver Surfer as well. But like, I'm really intrigued by it. Yeah. So I'm surprised.
As long as they hit the G spot, I'm there.
Jesus Christ. Speaking of G-spots, Naked Gun. It's going on the list, baby.
Oh, it Come is.
Akiva Schaffer's Naked Gun, starring Liam Neeson and Pam Anderson. Liam Neeson playing Frank Drebin Jr. Like, come on. That's instantly going on our list. Like, not even a debate. So
I agree. I agree.
Naked Gun, the first film that's officially making it to the list. I don't even need a discussion, but like, I I think this will be really fun. I think the Lonely Island guys have never really let me down. Again, their movies don't always work for everyone, and obviously they don't necessarily mean that box office success is coming from them, and I'll be very curious to see how this does. But I love Hot Rod, I love Popstar, I love Chippendale Rescue Rangers. The Watch was the one that felt like more of like a just a gun for hire thing for Akiva Schaffer. Like it, yeah, that just felt like it was, you know, a job, which is fine. But those movies, and even like things like MacGruber, which is more the Jorma Taccone thing, and but they all kind of produce with him and Andy Samberg and The Lonely Island. So I've been listening to their podcast, and Akiva's been talking about Naked Gun and how Liam Neeson, you know, is now his friend and stuff. He's like, it's so weird. He's like Liam Neeson saw Seth Meyers for something. He's like, oh, how's Akiva doing? Like, and it's like, how's my boy Akiva doing? And like, I can't wait to see how ridiculous and silly that movie's gonna be.
It's gotta be. And also, it'll be interesting to see how maybe a new generation of moviegoers that didn't grow up with that style of humor react to something like that, because it's also very specific to, you know, like it inspired the spoof genre, right? Like, you know, Airplane and the Naked Gun movies, like it was a big part of like what spoof culture is in cinema. So I love those Naked Gun movies, and doing this is very exciting. And I hope it is as silly and as wonderful as, you know, especially the first two Naked Gun movies, because there's stuff in those movies that I still think about even today, or like Priscilla Presley and Leslie Nielsen are having a conversation, even though they've already broken up. And it's like, you know, I haven't had as much sex since I was a Boy Scout leader. Stuff like that. It's just like, so
no, there's going to be some great lines in this. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So I cannot wait for that. The Bad Guys 2. I can't believe that. I guess the first one did well
enough,
but I just didn't see the first one. So
it'll probably be like a new Despicable Me kind of franchise.
Freakier Friday. Good for them, but doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, the first one's okay. Like it's not bad. It's just, yeah, like I feel like, okay, you know, a generation of people that love that remake, because the Jodie Foster one was the original one, you know, are looking forward to this, that they got it made. It seemed like something they would have done earlier because of how successful that first movie was. But I do like that Julia Butters is a lead in there, and she was really good in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. Not going to make the list.
No.
Just one that will probably make the list. I could probably just put it right on the list, is the untitled Paul Thomas Anderson film.
Yeah, that doesn't even have to be on the short list. Just go right to the...
Yeah.
But it also is rumored that it might move to 2026.
Do we risk it? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. For PTA. Untitled Naked Gun PTA. And PTA.
Doesn't it have a name too? Like the Battle of...
Well, it's gone through a couple of names, and it's supposedly, the rumor is that it's based on Thomas Pynchon's novel Vineland. So we'll see. But like the pairing of DiCaprio and Paul Thomas Anderson, just that alone should be enough. And if it's this year, if it's next year, whatever year it is, it's on the list. That's me being like, that's my veto.
Oh yeah, you know, like, no, you know, I'm with you. So like, that's an easy put it directly on the list for sure. We brought up Nobody a couple times. Nobody 2's coming out this year too. Yep. So I don't think it'll make the
list. But I did like Nobody. Nobody is a lot better than it had any right being.
I agree, and I liked this director's, I know you weren't as
Shadow
hot
Strays.
On it, but Shadow Strays I kind of liked, so which I just saw at TIFF. Yeah. So
I like the choice of him doing it. Like, yeah, it feels like, okay, that is a good choice for the material.
Mercy, Timur Bekmambetov's. Don't know what that is. Shelby Oaks, what is this?
Oh, that's from the
horror movie.
Yeah, but it's like the found footage film from Chris Struckman, the internet reviewer, who last year was like, went on to not review Madame Web and say that it's not a bad movie because it got made and it's hard to make films. And then I lost any respect for him.
I know. Well, now that he actually makes movies, maybe that's where that.
I know. But Madame Web, like, out of all the films you could say.
Hey, I have no doubt every movie is hard to make.
It's sure it is. But there is a feeling of like, OK, well, let's be honest about a film like
that. I know people are excited for this, though.
Well, it played at Fantasia Fest last year? Did. And Neon picked it up and it's being produced or like executive produced by Mike Flanagan.
Interesting. Not going to make the list,
no.
But hey, The Conjuring Last Rites, not going to make the list,
nope.
But Downton Abbey 3. Wow. Okay.
Automatically on the list.
Yeah. Him, which is the Jordan Peele produced movie, right?
Yeah.
Justin Tipping, a sports horror film. Okay.
Yeah. And isn't it Marlon Wayans and Tim Heidecker in it?
Marlon Wayans, Tim Heidecker, Julia Fox, Tyreek Withers. Okay. Probably not going to make the list.
But intriguing. But
I'm intrigued.
Sports horror.
That's like, you put those two words together, I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Like, an up-and-coming athlete goes to train with a legend who is about to retire. It's interesting. Okay. We have Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride.
That's definitely on the short list.
Yeah.
A movie musical version of The Bride of Frankenstein with Christian Bale and Jesse Buckley.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
following up The Lost Daughter.
Music by Johnny Greenwood.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. Like it's going to be. Yeah. Okay.
Jesse Buckley.
Short list. All right. You know what's going on the short list? Saw 11.
Yeah, it is. It has to.
Will it be on the list? We kind of have to. We have to commit to the bit. So it's probably making the list.
Saw and Final Destination.
Yeah. God. We are ourselves. That's for sure.
Yep.
One that's probably not going to make the list, but I'm sure will be popular this year is the Michael Jackson biopic.
Yeah.
By Anton Fuqua.
I'm having a feeling that we're going to be entering Elvis territory with that one.
I agree. Does nothing for me, but
Miles Teller is not playing Michael Jackson.
No. But his nephew or something is, right?
And I think Jafar. Coleman Domingo is in the film. He's playing Joe Jackson. And
yeah. Skip that one. Derek Cianfrance.
Roofman.
Okay. I love DC.
Yep. He's going on the short list. He's got to go on the short list.
Yeah, he's got to go on the short list. Sequel to Pool Man. The Pool Man trilogy.
Pool Man universe.
Channing Tatum, Kirsten Dunst, Ben Mendelsohn, Peter Dinklage, Juno Temple.
Read the synopsis. The synopsis is worth reading.
The film is a biopic of the fugitive Jeffrey Manchester, a former United States Army Reserve officer who due to his propensity to steal from branches of McDonald's after entering their premises via the roof and evaded capture from police by hiding in the roof of a Toys R Us store. I'm all in.
And you know how he was captured?
No.
There was a fingerprint left on a copy of Catch Me If You Can.
I love this. That's incredible. Love that.
I also love that Derek Cianfrance went from originally directing Wolfman to directing.
Oh, was he the original director?
Yeah, because Ryan Gosling's still a producer on.
Right. And they were going to do that together. Yeah.
So he just was looking for another man movie.
Osgood Perkins has another movie called Keeper with Tatiana Maslany, who is also in Monkey Man, right?
The Monkey Man? The Monkey, yeah.
The Monkey. Sorry. Damn it. Okay, cool. So,
and not a lot is known about that as well, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I know there is a synopsis for it.
Yeah, there's a synopsis, but it doesn't really. It's pretty basic.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And Neon cool. has I don't, it as well.
I don't know. We can't put both, but and
but
I don't
cool
know enough.
He's having
but
this prolific moment in his career.
Oh yeah, love the guy for sure. So let's. I don't know if we'll put that on the list, but it can go. on there. Tron Ares. We're probably not going to do this because of the Leto effect, but I am. And Joachim Roening. Is that how you pronounce it? But anyways, I can't really get on board with, but I didn't see Young Woman in the Sea. Did you?
No, I haven't. I'll catch up with it. I mean, at least before Tron Ares comes out, but I didn't like Kon-Tiki that much either. So,
and Maleficent 2, I didn't see. Yeah. And then their Pirates movie. Oof. I barely remember too. So, yeah, I love the Tron universe. I'm a little bit of a Tron Legacy apologist. Like, I do like that movie.
Soundtrack's great.
Soundtrack's incredible. You do have Nine Inch Nails doing the soundtrack.
That's the most interesting thing about this.
And I do think that it could pop off because of that, but I'm with you where I just really don't like Jared Leto.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see.
He's so repugnant that it's like, even if it's something that is of interest, he just completely turns you off from even having the slightest amount of investment in the material.
Yeah.
Other than Morbius too. We all want that.
Exactly. Black Phone 2. I'm surprised they're doing a sequel, but that's the second Scott Derrickson movie.
It did well, the first one.
I know it made
a lot of money, and
I never saw it.
It's not bad.
Yeah, like, I do want to see it. But do you think
it didn't need a sequel.
Like, yeah. That's kind of my thing. The next one up here, I will put it on the short list. I will say is Aziz Ansari's Good Fortune.
Yes.
Aziz's last movie got canceled because of the whole Bill Murray.
Well, this is that film.
I thought this is a different one. Like, he scrapped that one.
Well, is it Seth Rogen in this? And
yes, it's the same people, but I think it's a different movie. From
I thought he replaced Bill Murray with Keanu Reeves. I thought that was like the thing that he did.
Oh, maybe let's look. I have this here. So directing. So yeah, the other movie was going to be called Being Mortal, which was starring Bill Murray, Kiki Palmer, and Seth Rogen, and it was an adaptation of the nonfiction book Being Mortal: Medicine and What It Matters in the End by a surgeon named Atul Gawande. In April 22, production was halted due to inappropriate behavior by Bill Murray. According to the Hollywood Reporter, Ansari's second project, Good Fortune, was scheduled to begin in 2023, but then the writer's strike happened. And now, so this is a different movie. That movie just got scrapped.
But he's using the same people.
It has Keanu Reeves, Seth Rogen, and Kiki Palmer. Okay. But it is a different film than the last one we were just talking about. So, yeah, I mean, I think Aziz is, I really like Master of None quite a bit, him as a director, and I'm definitely intrigued. Seth Rogen's one of my favorite guys in Hollywood too, so Keanu's great, so I'm excited for that. We'll see if it makes the list. And we're getting close. Mortal Kombat 2.
Carl Urban is Johnny Cage.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it, but, there's nothing, it's not making the list at all, but
yeah.
A new Colleen Hoover adaptation. No, thank you. I just saw Dave Franco, so I was intrigued, but, Predator Badlands definitely has to make the short list. I forget which side you were on. Did you like
it? I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah. Okay.
Elle Fanning's in this one. That's kind of cool. Dan Trachtenberg is back.
Yeah. It takes place in the future, I think.
I thought it was like Prairie Times or something. Like
no.
That. This is Badlands. So it wasn't.
In the future, a predator traverses an alien wasteland while two sisters discover their horrifying past.
In the year 2000.
I'm here for Trachtenberg just doing different time period
predator
movies, and thank
period
God it's
Predator
theatrical release, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's
well, I think because great. Prey, the response that got, I think Prey also saved Alien Romulus from being a VOD release.
One that will make our short list for sure. The Running Man. Edgar Wright's The Running Man.
Yes.
I think. Yeah. Glenn Powell, Coleman Domingo, Katie O'Brien,
Josh Brolin.
Yeah. Michael Cera. I mean, I love Edgar Wright. I think him doing a Running Man is very intriguing.
And it's a big film for him. Like, even though he's had success, like a lot of his movies have been very small, like even Scott Pilgrim versus the World is still kind of a niche film. This seems like it is like a big potential blockbuster. So how people react to that versus say like the disappointment that people had for Last Night at Soho.
Yeah, I agree. And then so Yorgos has Begonia.
Yep.
That's definitely probably going to make it.
Which is a remake of a Korean film.
Is that the alien one? Is, yeah.
Save the Green Planet.
So probably going to make the list, but it goes on the short list for now.
The cast isn't bigger. They haven't announced everybody.
No, it's just Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, Alicia Silverstone, and Stavros. That comedian, Stavros, the big guy with the mustache. Hilarious. Incredible. That guy's just, I see his like podcast clips on like TikTok all the time and stuff. Now You See Me 3. rewatched.
It should be called Now You 3 Me.
Yeah, it should have been Now You 3 Me. Like, come on. Or the E's in the See Me should have been 2 3's.
Yeah.
Now You See Me 33. Again, no, I watched rewatched the first one with Nevis the other day. Not a good movie, kind of watchable. We're gonna watch the second one, and it's one of those, you know, Ruben Fleischer's coming in to direct this one.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
Louis Leterrier before.
It's so, and then John M. Chu in the second one, oh. Right? And then, just, and we'll be talking about him in about 30 seconds. So, it's not making the list at all. And no. It's one of those weird franchises that I can't believe a decade later, they're making another one. Like, it's so,
they're popular though, I guess they, yeah. Like they probably have had that streaming physical media success over the years. And it's enough of a, you know, Jesse Eisenberg's having a moment right now. You know, like it's the casting is always pretty good. The movies themselves are awful, but you know, like,
yeah, I know. Yeah, they're pretty bad. Yeah. The first one, like, I'm like, this makes no, it doesn't. Wicked for Good. Not making the list.
Nope. No, thank you.
Zootopia 2. Like the first Zootopia. Don't need another one.
Yeah.
So not making the list. Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Didn't see the first one.
The first one's awful. Awful, Matt. But it made so much money that, of course, they're doing another one.
The Seed Bearer No More. Avatar, Fire and Ash.
That's actually the full title. The Seed Bearer No More.
I think it has to go on the short list, I think.
Yeah, even though neither one of us liked the sequel.
Yeah.
The Way of Water.
But I just think
it'll be
Avatar transcends
it's like, man. Superman, where it'll be a cultural signifier and important to the narrative itself.
Yeah.
You know, like in terms of the year.
I don't know if it will make our list.
No, but it'll be nominated for a bunch of Oscars and make $1 billion.
Be in high frame rate, make me want to vomit. The SpongeBob SquarePants movie, Search for SquarePants. So two SpongeBob movies in 1 year. One technically not a SpongeBob movie, but still, I'm kind of shocked by that. That's crazy. Anaconda. Might as well just put it directly on the list.
I'm definitely intrigued by it.
Sure. Like that little teaser at Christmas with Jack Black and Paul Rudd, and it being this kind of meta comedy about it. That's very up my alley.
Well, will it be almost like 21 Jump Street in a way?
That's what I'm hoping, right? Yeah. So Sarah's Oil. I don't know what the fuck that is. What a horrible name for a movie.
Speaking like, of snake
Zachary
oil.
Levi, get out of here. Marty Supreme, definitely going on the short list. Yeah. Probably making the list. Who are we kidding?
Checking it.
Marty Supreme is the Timothée Chalamet ping pong movie, right?
Yes. And talk about a weird cast, too.
Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow, Tyler the Creator, Fran Drescher, Abel Ferrara.
Oh, that one guy, though, that's horrible, that's Canadian. The Shark Tank guy's in it, too. Kevin.
Oh, is he? Kevin O'Leary? Yeah. Oh, Kevin O'Leary is in it. Ugh. But whatever. And then we have another Paul Feig movie. Or wait, no. We didn't even talk about the other one because it got taken off the release calendar, right? With A Simple Plan or whatever it's fucking called.
Simple Favor.
Simple Favor 2 or whatever. Yeah. Which another movie that didn't need a sequel. But he also has The Housemaid with Sydney Sweeney, which I don't really – it's not going on the list.
No.
Okay, Eric, that's everything with a release date. If you now want to take over and if you have some picks of stuff that doesn't have release dates that you think
– I do, and I'm going to let you still look them up if you want to
read
the synopsis. Yeah. So my list, there's some that we've already talked about, is Play Dirty, which is Shane Black's next movie.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Questionable choice of the lead, but in terms of a new Shane Black crime film, I'm always open for it. Lakeith Stanfield's also in it.
Oh, Mark Wahlberg. Okay. Yeah.
But read the synopsis.
The synopsis: a thief gets a shot at a major heist where he must outsmart a South American dictator, the New York mob, and the world's richest man. Fun.
Yeah. Splitsville is another one that I think maybe we should consider, which is from the guys that made The Climb with Dakota Johnson.
Love those guys. Yeah.
So Neon picked that up. I think The Bride is Play Dirty, I think, is either MGM or Warner Brothers, or maybe it is Warner Brothers here in Canada. We talked about Mary.
Splitsville. Sorry, I just want to put these on. Splitsville. What was the Shane Black one? Sorry.
Play Dirty. The Drama is another one that I think could be interesting from the director of Dream House with Zendaya and Robert Pattinson.
Okay.
It's supposed to be, I think it's about a couple like getting married and they have like a moment of doubt in their relationship. That's one. There's a Paul Greengrass movie called The Lost Bus. There's a movie. I want you to look this up. It's called Hope and it's a Korean film, but it has Michael Fassbender and Alicia Vikander in the movie. Oh, and Taylor Russell. And it sounds kind of interesting.
Hope film. 2024. Let's see. Or 2025. Hope 2025 film. Hope. Okay. Premise: a mysterious discovery in a remote harbor town leads to a fight for survival. You know,
generic, I think, premise,
but I always like when kind of Korean directors, you know, come in, use some American cast, kind of like,
yes, all American Michael Fassbender.
Well, no, sorry, you know what I mean.
Yeah, English speaking.
Yeah,
yeah, I get it.
American wasn't the right term. Yeah. I meant more like Hollywood.
I mean, Gerard Butler is all American. Like he is.
I just really like. Yeah, I mean, with getting a new Bong Joon-ho movie this year too, but like South Korean, you know, film and television is always interesting to me. Like we're watching Squid Game season 2 now and the tonal shifts are always jarring, but exciting when you're watching a lot of South Koreans.
Well, cause we're not used to it as North Americans, right? Like I feel like a lot of people are they either embrace it like you do, or they're just so turned off by it that they don't know what to do. And I feel like that's why Mickey 17 has had such a struggle where like executives probably look at that thing and they're like, what do we do with this?
Yeah, but then you see the success of Squid Game, and sometimes I guess it works better when it's in Korean because I feel like it doesn't necessarily, to your point, translate super well sometimes when it's in English, where people are, it's off-putting to people, those tonal shifts or the kind of stilted dialogue or the comedy, the zany comedy mixed with intense bursts of like violence or drama. Like Squid Game is wild in the sense of like some of the music choices and some of the goofiness, and then it just smash cuts to, you know, some of the most horrific things you've ever seen in your life. So it's I'm always intrigued by, not saying that all Korean cinema is that obviously, no, but what we're the types that were, and I don't know if this will be like that.
Well, it's from the director of The Wailing, and The Wailing is a really interesting horror thriller comedy action film that's worth checking out if you haven't seen. So that's definitely, I would say, one to keep in mind.
Cool.
Cliffhanger.
Is that coming?
Sarah's Cliffhanger. Elevation Pictures has it here in Canada.
And it is coming out this year?
It supposedly is. Lily James, Pierce Brosnan, Franz Rogowski. What more?
Our list is going to just be all of our favorite shitty action movies getting remakes or comedies or like,
yeah. Wildwood is a film that is supposedly coming out this year. But I don't know if that's happening yet. It's an animated movie. It's from Laika, Travis Knight.
Yeah.
Chili T himself.
Back at Laika.
Yep. Greg Araki's I Want Your Sex, which is another film that Elevation Pictures here has in Canada, from one of the most probably important underground indie directors of the 90s. Criterion just released a box set of his earlier films. Darren Aronofsky's Caught Stealing, with Austin Butler in the lead. Don't know how I feel about that. Chloe Zhao has the Shakespeare spousal drama with Paul Mescal and Jesse Buckley, Hamnet.
Hamnet, okay.
Yes. Not to be confused with Skynet. You have the filmmakers behind How to Blow Up a Pipeline returning with Faces of Death, which I believe has Charlie XCX?
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
she's in it. Anne Lee, which is the cult musical directed by Mona Fassfold and co-written by partner Brady Corbet that they shot during the making of The Brutalist. Christopher Abbott, Amanda Seyfried, I think Thomasin McKenzie. There's a bunch of people in there that are great. Frankenstein, Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein. Oh, yeah. Boots Riley's next movie from the director of Sorry to Bother You, I Love Boosters, which has a supporting role from Demi Moore. The History of Sound, which has Paul Mescal and Josh O'Connor. After the Hunt, which is Luca Guadagnino's new movie with Julia Roberts and Andrew Garfield. Sentimental Value, which is the new Joachim Trier movie from the director of The Worst Person in the World. There's a couple movies that are kind of wild card films. So did you ever see the Michael Fassbender movie Slow West?
Yes.
So the director of that, John McClane, has a movie called Tornado. It's in post-production, but it doesn't have any date. It might be a fall festival film, maybe can if it's considered good enough. But I was just curious with his follow-up to Slow West. And then two other wild card movies that might not be done in time, but still could be, or released this year, is Kelly Reichardt's The Mastermind, which is also with Josh O'Connor. And one that is supposed to come out in 2026, but I've also heard rumors that it might be something that plays this year, is Zach Cregger's next movie, Weapons.
God, if Weapons, yeah, that would be on the list if it was guaranteed, but
yeah.
I could see it happening, but okay, yeah. Cool. Whew, okay. 2.5 hours in. Remember I said when this episode wasn't going to be 3.5 hours? Yeah, God. All right, so we have our short list, and we have two films that we've said already made the list, which are The Naked Gun and Untitled PTA Movie.
Yeah.
So that means we have 23 spots left. And how many do we have here? I'm going to count out loud for everyone. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49 movies. So we got to cut basically half this list, or just over half, from there.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, there's some we can probably get out of the way right away.
And into the list as well. Like, I think there are some that it's like, okay, this is going to be in there.
Let's cut the fat first. Okay. Okay. Captain America, Brave New World. You're not making it
out.
The Monkey, probably not making it, right?
Yeah, it's and the reason probably is because it's February, right?
That it's so soon, right? Like, it's
you
like
want to keep
away,
this list
weeks away.
Fresh.
Yeah, Monkey's not making it. Final Destination and Mickey 17 probably are making it.
Definitely Final Destination.
We're putting them both on there. Okay, we'll see. Well, we can always
change it up. Yes, yes.
Black Bag.
Soderbergh.
Is Soderbergh.
We can cut that.
Yeah, it's probably not making it. Electric State, I don't think makes it.
Nope.
Nope. Woman in the Yard.
Nah.
What is it?
Yeah, The Woman in the Yard. Jaume Kletsera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no. It's also a March movie.
If we're putting Cliffhanger on the list if we're putting a Jaume on here. Amateur, not making the list.
No.
It looks...
it's not Warfare, Amateur Hour here.
Warfare, not making the list. Like, Sinners... probably making the list.
Probably making the list, yeah.
Probably. We're putting... We'll start moving stuff and cutting the fat, and then we'll see. Keep trimming the list down.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts, not making it. No. A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey.
That's one where it's like... I'm excited to see it still, but it doesn't have to be on the list.
Yeah. I kind of agree. I don't know if we know enough about it, to your point, right?
Yeah.
But I won't completely delete it yet.
No, don't.
But...
because we got to see what we cut too. So,
this is now we're getting to, does it carry over? Hurry Up Tomorrow.
I say cut that one.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think the whole weekend of it all is like,
I'm not looking forward to the weekend.
Am I the Final Reckoning? I think is going to be there, but
did you say, Am I the Final Reckoning?
Yeah.
Yes. I think that has to be on the list.
These next six big movies are going to be tough because I don't know if we can keep them all, but we have to start cutting stuff. So I think out of these, we need to kind of have a conversation because we want that eclectic mix of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And this is, we're in that big summer season. So I'm going to skip these for now and keep going.
Okay.
Roof Man.
Keep it for now.
Okay. Roof Man's not like getting DC. Moved over, but it's staying. Saw 11, I'm going to... This is
on you.
There's too much this year that I think I can't waste a funny pick on Saw 11.
Yeah.
Because I think when Saw came back...
that was a bigger deal.
A bigger deal. This is another Saw movie where I'm excited for it, but I can't even commit to the bit enough to put it on the list. Like, I wouldn't feel right about it taking away a spot from... this other stuff, I think personally.
Yeah.
Like it's not making its way over. Predator Badlands. I don't think, based on looking at some of these other big movies, I don't think is going to make it.
Yeah.
So it pains me, but I think I'm going to delete it. Running Man's in contention.
Yes.
Begonia's in contention. Yep. I think we can delete Avatar. Neither of us care, right? But like,
from the seed bearer.
Anaconda staying for now.
Yeah.
Marty Supreme staying for now. And now we're getting into your list. What do you feel strongest about on your list? Probably a lot of it. But
yeah, I mean, like, my list is brilliant.
With a lot of this stuff. But, like, I would say Cliffhanger's one for me that stands out.
Yeah, I would say, like, I know it's not on my list, but it's a carryover. I would say Mother Mary is still
up there for you.
But then it's like, okay, well, do I have to pick and choose, like, what musical movie I want? Because The Bride
is another one. I skipped The Bride. Let's go back to this conversation before we get into your list then. So out of these big movies.
Oh, the Matt Stone and Trey Parker film, I think, needs to be on there.
I know. Okay. So here, I'm going to list these movies. I don't think we can keep all of them. We need to kind of have a conversation.
Yeah.
The Final Reckoning, Karate Kid Legends, 28 Years Later, F1. Jurassic World Rebirth, untitled Trey Parker film, Fantastic Four, and The Bride. That's your whole summer movie season right there, basically. And I think right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 movies on the list. We also have a list of about 20 movies coming up with some of the stuff with the potentials. So I think we just got to cut a couple of these.
Yeah.
What do we feel strongest about? Probably the Trey Parker movie,
right? Trey Parker, so, for, like, sure.
That moves over, which I wouldn't put that in the same category as a blockbuster. Like,
no, but it's almost more of like a curiosity.
Yeah. I'm going to push Fantastic Four because I just need a Marvel representation. And I think that's the one. I'll give you that. On there. So that moves over. Now we're looking at, as much as I want to put Rebirth on there, I don't think I can do it based on the history of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I can't.
You got to find an excuse.
I can't delete it yet, but like, I can't delete it yet, but I don't know if I can, like, in good conscience, put it on there.
Yeah.
Cause like,
it doesn't have dominion over you.
Is it going to take a spot over Mission Impossible or F1 or Karate Kid? I don't think so.
Well, Mission Impossible, I think, has to be on there.
Yeah, I agree.
F1, I'm not like...
I'm not going to delete it yet.
No, but I'm picking between the other ones, like, I would either pick... What was the one you said before?
Karate Kid or 28 Years
Later. Karate Kid or 28 Days Later, I feel like is more our speed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not going to delete F1 yet. And then Karate Kid is even one I could be talked down on.
Karate Kid's hard not to, though. It's like, because it's been part of our lives for so long.
I know.
But it should be on like the final short list, at least. Like, we should keep it until like...
Okay, we're not deleting it yet. And then 28 Days Later, does it immediately go to the list or does it stay on
there? Part of me wants to put it on the list because it looks really good. It looks so good.
We're on there. I'm fine with that. We need some like horror. We need some... Well, we have Sinners and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, and Final Destination Bloodlines.
Hell yeah. That is us.
And then now we're getting into territory. So I didn't quite delete Big Bold Beautiful Journey, Karate Kid Legends, F1, or Jurassic World Rebirth yet. What about The Actor?
Yeah, that's another one where it's like I'm excited for it, but it's like it's The Leftovers. And so The Leftovers, we have Mickey 17. I think Mother Mary has to be in there. Mm-hmm. That's the one like I think I am like looking forward to the most in terms of like a personal list. But then if I take Mother Mary, can I take The Bride? Because The Bride is like, you know, a movie musical as well, obviously very different,
but we probably want at least one musical.
I need one Jesse Buckley movie on my list,
and we're not putting Michael or Wicked on there. Right, but like, so I'm kind of okay with putting The Bride.
And because I loved The Lost Daughter. Well, we both did love The Lost Daughter so much. So,
okay, The Bride's getting moved over.
Yeah.
We're keeping some of these other movies. I just can't quite delete them yet.
Yeah.
But
in Jurassic World, it's like you can talk yourself out of it a little bit.
I think I can. Like, I, based on, yeah, I don't think it's going to make it. Just because, like, the history. You got to go off of how can you be excited for this? Like, I'm personally excited, and I do think it's one of the quote unquote biggest movies of the year, because the Jurassic World movie is always going to be that, but it's not the biggest movies of the year. It's the most anticipated, and I don't know. We'll see. Okay. So now we're in this big list of Roofman, Running Man. Running Man's probably got to make it, right?
We can only take one man.
Yeah. Roofman, Running Man, Begonia, probably going to make it. Anaconda, probably want it on there. Marty Supreme, damn it. Cliffhanger, fuck. Weapons, sounds awesome. But
well, Weapons, maybe we don't have to put, because we don't have the confirmation yet of 2025. Yeah. But we do have this recording to prove that we were aware that it possibly could come out this year.
Yeah. It says 2026.
Yes,
when I looked it up.
But I have heard rumors that it's Warner Brothers.
Because it says January 2026, so they could move it up probably till October, November, right? Like, or something like that. But okay, I think we remove that.
Disqualify
because
it.
As of right now, it says January 16th, 2026.
Yes.
So it's technically not a 2025 movie. We could have been ahead of the curve there and maybe put it on, but
we're cowards.
We are. Okay, so I'll run through this and tell me if anything stands out right away that you're like, that has to be on there. Roofman, Running Man, Begonia, Anaconda, Marty Supreme, Cliffhanger, Splitsville, Play Dirty, The Drama, The Lost Bus, Hope, Wildwood, I Want Your Sex, Caught Stealing, Hamnet, Faces of Death, Anne Lee, Frankenstein. Do we put The Bride and Frankenstein on the list? I love Boosters, The History of Sound, After the Hunt, Sentimental Value, Tornado, and The Mastermind.
Okay. So with those.
And I'll tell you how many we have right now.
How many do we
have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
We still have lots of spots, actually.
Let's put Anacondas on there.
Anaconda's going on there.
It's got to.
Hell yeah, dude.
Do we have Naked Gun on there as well?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was the first thing we put on there.
Okay. For me, like a personal pick, I am really curious about Sentimental Value.
Cool. All right.
Read the synopsis. It sounds good.
I will. I trust you, so that's going on there. Sentimental Value. Sentimental Value film. Upcoming, this is, okay, Joachim Trier, okay, comedy drama, sorry, let me go to IMDb instead, because that didn't really have a synopsis there. Follows Nora and her sister Agnes as they mourn the loss of their mother and adjust to the return of their father, Gustav. Gustav has written a script and offered the main part to his daughter, Nora, but she categorically refuses the role. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So like it's like a nepotism movie.
Yes. And Stellan Skarsgård, I think, is going to be playing the dad. Elle Fanning's in there. Corey cool. Michael Smith. And Neon has
It's Worst Person in the World director.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
So.
And Neon has the rights to it, so they're planning on really pushing that movie quite a bit. There was one more.
I'd say that Running Man and Begonia are probably on there.
Yes, and we can only have one man movie, so.
Do you think Roofman?
Roofman has to get the cut.
The axe. I mean, Marty Supreme.
I think Marty Supreme has to be on there.
Yeah. Marty Supreme is on there.
That's our one Safdie brother from this year, because Smashing Machine. Also,
is it technically coming out this year?
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know with Dwayne in the lead if I could.
Dwayne!
If I can.
I mean, will it be as good as Red One? Who knows?
And Cliffhanger, I want to put on here, but do we know if it's coming this year?
That's the question. Even though there is a photo and a page on Elevation Pictures' website.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have a date.
So maybe we leave it off because of that.
Because the other one I didn't even bring up and I'm not sure about. Well, actually, there's a couple. There's the Ethan Coen movie, which is Honey Don't with Margaret Qualley and Aubrey
Plaza. I love I love them and I love the Coens, but
or Cohen in this case.
Yeah, I know, but I mean any Cohen. Yeah. Andy Cohen is the only Cohen that I love. I didn't love Don't Worry Darling, but I don't know. I don't know.
I agree. Like, it's not on the list, but like, it's just nice to reference, like, oh, that's yeah, also totally. Coming out. Yeah. The other one, and I know you didn't like Past Lives, but Materialist
sure.
is the follow-up from Celine Song, and that has Chris Evans, Dakota Johnson, and Pedro Pascal in the three leads. It's an A24 movie. It doesn't have a date as of yet, but it's supposed to be this year. It's a matchmaker film. So, like, that to me is, like, you know, maybe it's a little more commercial, even though it's still with an indie studio, not necessarily something that I'm like, you know, gung ho about. So we'll see about that. Yeah.
Okay. So, maybe we leave cliffhanger off,
or leave it as a cliffhanger.
What are we on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So that means what? We have 9 left?
Yeah.
We have 9 spots left.
9 spots left. I think we need to put Ann Lee in because of The Brutalist.
Yeah.
And because Mona Fassbold has also directed really two wonderful films with The Sleepwalker and The World to Come. It was made around the exact same time as The Brutalist. It could be our the end this year where it backfires because it is a musical about a cult leader. But if it is successful, we could be tastemakers of 2025.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm cool with that. Let's move Ann Lee to the on the board. Cool. I'm cool with that. Let's see what else here. So we have 8 spots left. I'm leaving it to you with the with your list of what you really.
Do we have 28 Days Later on there already?
Yeah, okay, we do.
Good. Good.
Well, do you want to hear what we have now?
Yes. Just
so
yes.
So you can see kind of the mix of stuff. We have The Naked Gun. We have untitled Paul Thomas Anderson movie. We have Final Destination Bloodlines, which I think takes the spot of Saw 11.
Yes.
That's why I didn't.
That is the Saw of 2024.
Yeah. The Saw that we can both get on yes. board with. Like, Mickey 17, Sinners, untitled Trey Parker film, The Fantastic Four, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, 28 Years Later, Mother Mary, The Bride, Anaconda, Sentimental Value, The Running Man, Begonia, Marty Supreme, and Ann Lee.
What a weird list.
Oh, it's a very weird list.
What else are we looking at here? I kind of think we need to put Luca on this list to make up for the fact that we didn't have challengers after The Hunt.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Luca has earned my respect enough to be like, after challengers, yes. I mean, Queer... I appreciate.
Yeah.
But that guy is just a workhorse, dude. So
yeah, I know. Like, he is just like literally going from one movie to the next.
Sorry, what was the title again?
After the Hunt.
And tell me, this is the one with Garfield?
Yeah, and Julia Roberts. It's a Me Too film about a professor that's dealing with her own problems after a colleague is exposed.
Cool.
Iowa right. Dibri is in it as well. Who else? There's someone else in it. Oh, Michael Stuhlbarg. It's a pretty good cast. After The Hunt. Just looking it up now. Yeah, a college professor finds herself at a personal and professional crossroads when a star pupil levels an accusation against one of her colleagues and a dark secret from her own past threatens to come to light.
Cool. Yep. That goes on the list. So what, we have 7 left. I'd say since we have 7 left, there's space for Karate Kid Legends.
Do it. Put it on there.
And I'd even argue maybe F1, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, Karate Kid for sure. I think it just represents us pretty well. So,
Yeah, you have to. So now we got.
Oh, you know what's another one we forgot to mention? It might not make the list, but it would just be nice to give her a shout out and the film a shout out. Chandler Levesque's new movie.
Yeah, I know she was shooting it. It is coming out.
I think
this
it's
year?
Supposed to come out this year. I'm just looking it up now. Mile and Kicks. Oh, the other film that's supposed to come out this year as well is Matt Johnson's Nirvana, the band show, the movie.
Oh, it's going on the list.
It's gotta. You gotta put that on the list. My close personal friend, Matt Johnson.
The show. Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. Yeah, that's probably coming this year.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't be surprised if Mile and Kicks, though, also makes its way in the fall festival season.
I Love Movies was wonderful. And that is like a, I do think spotlighting, you know, a smaller movie like, you know, like one of Chandler's is cool. Yeah. So potentially.
Yeah,
like,
I'll read you the synopsis. So it's I think it's semi-autobiographical. A 24-year-old music critic gets romantically involved with members of an indie band she decides to publicize, set against Montreal's indie music scene in 2011. Yeah. Jay Baruchel, Devin Bostick, Barbie Ferreira. Stanley Simmons, Juliet Garapi from Red Rooms. So
interesting.
Yeah, good cast. I Like Movies is great. So, you know, like just on that alone, it's worth considering.
Yeah, I have it on the short list right now. And let's see. Okay, so where do we want to go from here? So we have.
Where do we go from?
I think we
here?
Have five spots left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. We are at 20. We have five spots left.
Okay.
Five spots left.
Five. Oh, there's another film that I wasn't sure about, but the reason why I wanted to bring it up, it's from the guys that did Dungeons and Dragons.
Ooh.
Now here's the kicker. It stars Ryan Reynolds and Kenneth Branagh, but it's Jonathan Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, writers, directors. It's called May Day.
Oh yeah.
And it was shot actually in Montreal. Lieutenant Troy Brennan takes part in a top secret surveillance mission over Soviet airspace. Things take a sharp turn when he is forced to catapult over the Russian wilderness. And then it says things take a sharp turn. Oh, so it's just repeating itself. So.
Yeah, it's an Apple TV Plus movie.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by Reynolds and Maximum Effort. So, yeah, I get where your hesitation is, right? Which I'm kind of with you. I think we're both, you know, the Reynolds thing.
Yeah.
Throws us off a little bit.
But
right?
if anybody can like prove themselves.
They are great, right? Yeah. Like I love both those guys. And like I think Dungeons and Dragons is so underrated. Game Night is wonderful. Obviously the writing they did on Spider-Man Homecoming, I think is really solid as well. Yeah, I don't think it makes the list, but definitely a good shout out.
Yeah,
I think
because
yeah.
It could almost be like one of those films like Dungeons and Dragons where you write it off and then it surprises you in a way that you weren't expecting.
I totally agree with that. So, yeah. Anything else from your list that stands out? Splitsville, Play Dirty, The Drama, The Lost Bus, Hope, Wildwood, I Want Your Sex, Caught Stealing, Hamnet, Faces of Death, Frankenstein, I Love Boosters, The History of Sound. We already put After the
Faces of Death is one to consider because of how much we liked How to Blow Up a Pipeline. And it's looking at the Video Nasties era of films. But it might be, I don't know if it's going to be anthology or not. Like, that's the thing with that. But hold on, I'll read.
I did really, really love Pipeline.
Yeah.
So the premise, a woman who moderates a YouTube-like platform responsible for filtering out any content that is offensive or violent comes across a group on the website that appears to be reenacting the murders from the original film. However, given the digital age of widespread misinformation online, are these murders real or fake?
Ooh.
Kind of interesting. So probably like a sort of found footage sort of thing, right? But she, like, she's finding these YouTube videos where they could be reenacting them when they're okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that sounds cool, but so it's it was a movie that came out. Oh, in 1978. It's a remake.
Yeah. Well, the Faces of Death films are just like basically videos of, they're not snuff films. Like, some of them are like Bears Attack people or something like that. They're just compilation videos.
Fictional. Fictional compilation videos.
Some people thought they were real. And they garnered a reputation as being deplorable. And so like the UK, for example, called them video nasties. And so they banned them from video stores.
Interesting. So this is kind of a meta narrative take on that a little bit, right? Where someone comes across a series of videos that they're not sure if they are real or fake. That's a cool idea.
Yeah. So I'd be down to put that on there if
I'm down.
You know,
I'm down.
Yeah.
You got to highlight though. Like, I think just of how much we enjoyed How to Blow Up a Pipeline. You know, I never saw their earlier stuff. Like,
Cam is good. Cam is very good. Okay. And that almost feels like it's like a companion piece to Cam, because Cam is about a sex worker who's using, you know, her cameras, but then she discovers that there's a doppelganger of her online. Yeah.
I do remember you talking it's about good. This, I think.
Yeah. It's solid. Like, it's like, it's not like a perfect movie, but like, it's definitely like one that deserves, I think, more attention than it got. And it was just basically dumped by Netflix.
Okay. Faces of Death going on the list. Do we want the Shane Black movie? Do we want, like, what else is on here? That's like, the Del Toro, like, Del Toro is a guy I love, but you know, with his movies have always been kind of hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
I think Frankenstein sounds interesting.
Read the drama, wrong, read but... the, read the plot synopsis for the drama.
The drama 2025 film, is that on here or no? I have to find it on IMDb. The drama. Oh, Zendaya and Robert Pattinson. Okay. This director did Dream Scenario?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Which I did find interesting. Like, I didn't love everything about it, no. But I definitely...
favorite fart scene of that year, though.
God. They don't even really have a synopsis on IMDb or anything. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
The drama 2025 movie... Sorry, everyone. I'm just trying to do our research as we a couple here, Film Affinity. Who knows if these are real, but a couple in the days leading up to their wedding face a crisis when unexpected revelations derail what one of them thought they knew about each other. So this will be interesting. Is it going to be kind of like a before sort of walk and talk kind of like,
but knowing that director, it's like, probably going to have like a warped genre tone to it. Or we go with, if we're looking at like movies about marriage or divorce or matrimony, there's Splitsville, which is from the guys that did The Climb, which
The Climb is great too.
When Ashley asks for a divorce, the good-natured Carrie runs to his friends Julie and Paul for support. Their secret to happiness is an open marriage, that is, until Carrie crosses the line and throws all of their relationships into chaos.
Sounds fun.
Neon too. Picked it up.
I'm leaning towards you. What are you feeling the most? Like, it's
a good question, because like, they're both like, one's A24, one's Neon.
Yeah, so you kind of know what types of movies you're sort of getting, right?
We don't have any animated films.
Ooh, that's the thing this year. Nothing stood out.
Wildwood is the one.
Which one? Sorry.
Wildwood.
I'm not a huge Leica person, but I like Travis Knight. So
Chili Tea, man.
I think we do need an animated film.
Yeah.
If I'm being real.
You're being frank.
So the Pixar stuff, DreamWorks stuff isn't really doing it for me this year.
Even it's a good Disney cast too. I'm looking at this cast. You have Carey Mulligan, Mahershala Ali, Awkwafina, Angela Bassett, Jake Johnson, Charlie Day, Tom Waits.
Oh, wow.
Jemaine Clement.
I'm cool with it. Like I'll none of the other animated stuff.
Yeah. And it's hard to find really, like, okay, what's going to be like a flow.
If
there is even a flow this year, you know, like something that's maybe like smaller, unless you want to put like the actor on there again, cause it has animation in it. Like sometimes you can't predict those things, right? Like it's with documentaries too. Like it's really hard to put a documentary on a list because one, sometimes you don't even know that they're being made, and two, you know, you have to find those movies. Like if this was an episode after Sundance, because Sundance does have a lot of documentaries,
we might have a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like there's one person, and I didn't even mention it because I wasn't sure, but I love,
I go to the bathrooms and just keep talking.
Sure. Christina Johnson, who did camera person, and Dick is going to die. Sorry. I'm just scrolling through this now. Dick Johnson is dead. So Kirsten Johnson has a new movie about Suzanne Sontag, which I don't know too much about, other than to say, is it a documentary though? Again, you're finding this out in real time. Oh yes, okay. Follows the events of the life of Suzanne Sontag, an influential writer and intellectual who often distilled complex ideas about human rights and social justice into clear-headed essays. And it says that Kristen Stewart is doing, I guess, maybe like the voiceover for Suzanne Sontag, or will do like reenactments. But that's also going to be fun to talk about when the movie does come out, because you'll have Kristen Stewart and then Kirsten Johnson. Dick Johnson is dead. And camera person's amazing. So that's another one where it's like, I don't know, like I know a little bit about Suzanne Sontag, but I don't know too much about her. But in terms of the filmmaker, I'm looking at it more so from the filmmaker than the story.
For sure.
But that's why like documentaries like often get overlooked, I think, as well, until they come out.
And who are we kidding? Does a documentary deserve to be on a most anticipated list? No.
I mean, I would disagree with that. I just think it's harder to.
I'm kidding. That was.
I know. I just think it is harder to kind of predict those, unless you're totally, going by a filmmaker that has something coming out, you know?
I totally agree. Okay.
We do have to wrap this up because I have to start getting ready to go.
Yeah, same here. So, you know, we are wrapping it up. I'm making a decision. We're putting F1 on the list.
Okay. That's fine. That's yours.
Jurassic World is not going on the list just because in good conscience. But I think Top Gun Maverick was so good that I have to give Kaczynski the benefit of the doubt on his next movie. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's not his next movie after.
Well, I know, but like we don't count
Spiderhead.
Like, no, we don't count Spiderhead. You know what I mean?
We don't
like,
talk about Spiderhead.
I think I don't know
how many spots then do we have left? Because I'll give you Formula One.
No, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 20, 21, 22, 23. I'll give you the last two.
The last two.
You can choose what the last two are.
You know what? I want to do Chandler.
Cool.
I want to give her she needs a boost or a solid for
but
me.
But why not?
Just,
right?
Yeah, because I Like Movies is so good. You know, like it's just nice to be like, okay, well, we have some filmmakers.
Hey,
here.
I love it. We got two CanCon movies on here with Nirvana the Band and Myelin Kicks that I feel like we have good connections to.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to have fun.
Let's do it.
Cliffhanger.
Fuck yeah, dude. We're doing it.
Yeah.
We're
putting. We got to have one JAMA Clit Sarah after Aragon. Yeah, come on.
I think we do. I think we do.
You know, I'm so excited still for Splitsville. Like, you know, and if Weapons comes out, you know, like that'll be amazing. But there's a feeling of like, okay, sometimes you just have to have fun with it too. And Cliffhanger is that one where it's like, even if it's awful, it'll at least be well directed.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I'm going to go through this list and we'll see one little quick final time if this is what we want to. I didn't put it in alphabetical order yet or anything, but
that's fine.
It will be that. We have The Naked Gun, untitled Paul Thomas Anderson movie, Final Destination Bloodlines, Mickey 17, Sinners, untitled Trey Parker film, The Fantastic Four First Steps, Mission Impossible The Final Reckoning, 28 Years Later, Mother Mary, The Bride, Anaconda, Sentimental Value, The Running Man, Begonia, Marty Supreme, Ann Lee, After the Hunt, Karate Kid Legends, Nirvana, The Band, The Show, The Movie, Faces of Death, Wildwood, F1, Mile End Kicks, and Cliffhanger.
I like it. It's very eclectic, and it's like a nice mix of things. And I really love that we have both Chandler and Matt Johnson on there.
Oh yeah. I think that's all right. I think that's your list, everybody. I know. Sorry. We've been going for 3 hours, so it's not like we're rushing at the end,
no.
But I'm happy with that 25.
Yeah.
I think we made some tough decisions, but I think it is a good eclectic mix to your point too, with some smaller stuff, some big blockbuster stuff, some horror stuff, got some animation in there.
Some stuff that will probably still be moved to 2026, you know?
Yeah. We always have a couple. So some of these things, or maybe this will be the year where all 25 movies come out this year. But I'm happy about this. Eric, this is always the most fun I have doing an episode. I love it. Gets me really juiced for the next year, right? Gets me pumped for 2025. We're about to go see a movie, probably my first theatrical movie of this year, because I just skipped out on a bunch of the earlier January stuff.
Flight Risk.
Did I? So we're about to go see a 2025 movie. This was a blast doing this. Everyone, thank you all for listening. Please go listen to our best of 2024 episode, which was just almost as long as this, or actually longer. But I love doing these super long episodes with Eric, and then we probably won't do episodes for the rest of the year. Kidding. We'll be back with other things like my trip to WWE Raw, Disneyland. We're going to do an Oscars kind of episode, which will kind of cover a lot of stuff we talked about last week, but
a review of Companion.
Yeah. Can't wait. And then we're getting into February. We'll probably have some stuff for, the aforementioned Captain America, movie coming up and lots of stuff. If you want to check out this list of these 25 films to follow along or want to make sure you bookmark it or save it or copy it into your
or tattoo
own
it on your body.
Yeah, go over to our Letterboxd HQ, which is untitled_movies. The list will be available there as well, and we'll share everything there. So thank you all again for listening. We really do appreciate it. Please follow me at Matt Rohrbeck and Eric at EM6211 on most of those social medias. Eric is at Eric Marchin on Blue Sky, I believe. And I'm at MattRohrbeck.com there as well. Other things to plug.
Your website? So, you updated your website?
Matt. Yeah, nah, that's fine. And then go watch Eric's stuff over on Rogers at RogersTV.com.
And also we have interviews over on our main channel as well in our podcast with Brady Corbet for The Brutalist. Robbie Williams and Michael Gracie for Better Man. There's an upcoming interview that I have with Sukyun Lee for Paying for It, which is about 60 minutes long. So be on the lookout.
It's like a full episode. Yeah. Woo!
Rick Flair.
Woo! He's not a great dude.
Bret Hart, though. I love that he was Bret trolling him the other day, or like someone posted
Bret Hart's
a video.
Amazing. Hulk Hogan, trash.
Boo!
All right, everybody. Until next time.
It's 2025. Just stay alive.